Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. In advance of President Bush's State of the Union speech tomorrow night, there are Republicans in the Senate joining Democrats with plans for non-binding resolutions against building up troops in Iraq. Virginia Senator John Warner.
The Senate disagrees with the plan to augment our forces by 21,500 and urges, I repeat, urges the President instead to consider all options and alternatives.
White House spokesman Tony Snow says there is progress in Iraq and it is visible if people will just look.
The benchmarks and the kinds of things that people have identified as absolutely necessary to the long-term progress of democracy in Iraq, the Maliki government has been addressing.
So how do people feel about the strategy in Iraq? Not so good, says the latest CBS News poll, with most opposing the troop buildup.
50% told us that Congress should block funding for sending additional troops to Iraq, and 6% said that Congress should block all Iraq war funding.
CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic there. Shiite militia leader Muqtada al-Sadr has been in the catbird seat, able to keep the Iraqi government from succeeding with his own terror attacks and with the 30 members of parliament and 6 cabinet members he controls. Now al-Qaeda al-Sadr says he will rejoin the government, and they should too. NYU professor Zachary Lockman.
They're showing that they're part of the coalition that keeps Prime Minister al-Maliki in power, and that if the United States goes after them, there will be consequences in terms of political stability.
A new videotape purported to be Osama bin Laden's deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, says the Bush strategy is doomed to failure. It's on a video obtained by a private terror tracking group in Washington. An al-Qaeda website claims the blame for shooting down a Black Hawk helicopter over the weekend.
They found a launch tube for a shoulder-fired missile near where the Black Hawk went down, and that has made the working assumption now that it was, in fact, shot down.
CBS's David Martin. The CEO of The Gap, Paul Pressler, is resigning following a miserable holiday season which hurt fourth-quarter profits for them.
Gap stores have reached site saturation in the U.S., and while Banana Republic and Old Navy have not, all three banners that they own and operate are struggling, and it doesn't look like they're going to turn the corner anytime soon.
That's retail analyst Bert Flickinger. Flagstaff, Arizona, up in the mountains, knows what snow looks like. Not unusual there in winter, or at Pine Top or Sunrise where the skiers frolic, but Tucson doesn't usually get any. Kids in Tucson and Phoenix are playing in 1.5 inches of snow, enough for a snowball fight, and a snowman too. Won't last, kids. Make the snowman pretty quick. On Wall Street, the Dow was off about 88 points. The Nasdaq lost 20. Oil prices, $51.13 a barrel, down 86 cents. This is CBS News.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection. Then, backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now, get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Do you get distracted while driving from time to time? Of course you do. It's part of the real world. The trick is to minimize the distractions where you can.
A new survey shows distracted drivers account for almost 8 in 10 accidents. Asked about distractions, 80% of drivers admit adjusting the radio, 73% admit to talking on the phone. Some admit nursing babies or painting toenails. Taking your eyes off the road, even for a few seconds, matters.
A 3-second distraction at 65 to 70 miles an hour will really take you the length of a football field.
Bill Windsor at Nationwide Insurance. insurance.
The driver that's distracted really has no idea what was out there.
Windsor says if you can do the task at home or in the office, do it there, not behind the wheel. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The CEOs of 10 major corporations are breaking ranks with big trade organizations calling for dramatic reductions in greenhouse gas emissions all across the economy. They were not specific exactly how. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 3 o'clock, welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I heard everybody say this is Blue Monday today because, why is it any worse than any other Monday is my question, because this is when the bills come in from Christmas and holiday shopping, and this is Monday is Heart Attack City. Anyhow, more heart attacks happen on a Monday than any other day of the week. And I don't know, they have 10 other reasons. So there are always all these names for what you have in the winter. SAD, seasonal affective disorder. There, you know, a million different. The blues, Blue Monday. A lot of names and no cures. But the big cure here for Blue Monday would be a blue. Well, we want more blue things. We don't want a red Monday. That would be very bad indeed. But you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live, which ought to perk you right up, because I want to remind everybody that we are doing a special edition of Enid Live tomorrow. 3 to 7 as usual, so you can always find us weekdays, Monday through Fridays, 3 to 7, right here on AM 1320, KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can always find us here. But tomorrow, the State of the Union, Dickey, is going to be talking to the nation, and I am really looking forward to this because details, lots of juicy details are emerging, which I will share with you. We will take that speech live, and then we plan to take the Democratic response, which is given this year by Senator James Webb, Jim Webb, who's written a number of bestseller thrillers, military thrillers, and he's had a really incredible career. And it should be a pretty interesting speech. And I am really looking forward to both. And then we will take your calls. So I want you to write down our numbers because I want you to participate. I don't want you to hang back, even if you have cheated on us and watched it on television. We want you to listen to it on the radio. You know, you may be out of your office in time to hear it. You may not. The State of the Union is scheduled for 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. We are thinking now that it'll go about 40 minutes as our best guesstimate. And we don't know how long the Democratic response will go. Shorter is always better. And then we will take your calls. So write these numbers down because they are toll-free, and I think you're going to want to weigh in on the State of the Union because Dickey's got some things that he's going to say, and some details are emerging, which, and he is so out of it that the details that are emerging are just, you just scratch your head and you wonder, how could anybody come to these conclusions? Well, we will go there as we continue, but the number to call and to call to talk to us anytime, if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, or 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. So all those are all the ways that you can contact me and be a part of what is becoming a larger and really more interesting conversation every day that we're doing it. And the more of you who participate, the better the conversation is, I think, and I think you probably will agree with me. There's a lot of local stuff to report in California. And, of course, over the weekend, Hillary says, I'm in and I'm in to win. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about this administration and what's leaking out in terms of the State of the Union and other things. We're going to be talking about some surprising shifts that are going on. I will be sharing that with you. And so we have lots and lots to talk about today. We have, you know, we have Donald Trump calling Rosie fat, and we've got Grey's Anatomy calling another actor a faggot. So we got a lot of things to talk about. It's nothing compared to what Michael Richards did, but, you know, it's a trend. Something's going on. Let me start locally before we move on to the national scene. So a couple of things. First of all, if you are a close reader of the Bee's letter to the editor's column, there's something on Doolittle. House again okays stem cell bill. Well, Representative John Doolittle says he's changed, but it doesn't include his willingness to stick with his GOP buddies. He voted no on three of the first four House bills, including the embryonic stem cell research bill. So that's what has happened there. And the writer of the letter says, if use of embryonic stem cells is indeed the immoral, unethical, homicidal activity that so many Republicans claimed on the floor of the House, why is it that none of them, Doolittle included, has ever offered legislation prohibiting fertility clinics from discarding unused embryos, the source of these embryonic stem cells? Or is it only immoral when used for possibly curing illnesses is one of those convenient wedge issues the Republicans would hate to see disappear? So a little bit on Doolittle. Will it surprise you to know, if I were to ask you, and maybe you know this already, but I don't think it's widely known yet, if I were to ask you what the governor's chief of staff makes, you know how much she's making? Got any idea what she made? With her campaign work, and so they don't apparently draw any distinction between campaign work and her work for the state. I guess you're allowed to shift. There are states that have laws against working for the state and doing campaign work for a candidate, but not California. Susan Kennedy, who is a lesbian, Democratic, chief of staff for Arnold, got $100,000 bonus from the governor for her work on his campaign. $100,000 bonus from the governor for work on his campaign. It brought her salary up to $323,500. $323,500. And where did that $100,000 come from? That $100,000 came from private monies. Some of the same groups that the governor and the legislature and people who have business, corporations that have business before the governor and the legislature. Four senior aides to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger were paid nearly $250,000 in bonuses for political work they performed during the governor's race. Money that came from insurers, oil companies, real estate developers, and other private interests that contributed to the governor's campaign. Chief of Staff Susan Kennedy received a $100,000 bonus as a reward for the time she devoted to Schnartzy's re-election bid, the governor's office said. That means that she collected, with her bonus, $323,500 in campaign and taxpayer money in her 1 year as Schnartzy's top aide. Almost $325,000 roughly. Schwarzenegger paid the communications director, Adam Mendelsohn, a bonus of $75,000 for his work on the campaign, on top of his taxpayer finance salary of $123,000. So that puts him at about $200,000. Separately, Mendelsohn earned $13,000 last year in campaign salary, bringing his total pay to $211,000. $211,000. Daniel, and I don't know how he pronounces Ningali, maybe, Chief of Staff for First Lady Maria Shriver, received a $25,000 campaign bonus, supplementing his state salary of $123,000, so that brings him up to about $150,000. And Clay Russell, the governor's personal assistant, was rewarded with a $48,000 bonus, $48,000, that sum, coupled with a separate $20,000 campaign salary Russell received, boosted his compensation by 80%. The bonuses were paid in December, a month after Schnartzy won a second term by defeating Phil Angelides. So these are four people. His spokesperson said that all four deserve the money, having put in considerable campaign work at their own time. However, there are a number of states, among them Pennsylvania, The governor there said that he insists on a strict separation between state and campaign work. You can't have staffers bowing to two gods, that governor said, and the governor never wants someone to be in a situation where they might feel compromised or their role is unclear. Because of the level of campaign pay that she has received, Susan Kennedy's compensation now comes primarily from the special interests that pay into Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign fund. So in a way, most of her compensation comes from special interests. So in a way, she is beholden more to the special interests who pay her compensation, the bonuses, than she is to the taxpayers of the state of California. Her state salary is $131,000. The campaign money amounts to almost $192,500. She got private interests. This is special interest money that she is getting. And she advises Schnorzy. Watchdog Group said that the practice is troubling. A government aide's allegiance should be to the California taxpayers, they contend. If the bulk of one's pay comes from private interests, loyalties can be misplaced. Public officials who are making public decisions should not be receiving money from campaign contributors who are private entities with their own special interests, biases, and motivations that are quite apart from the public interest, usually always antithetical to the public interest most of the time, I think. The largest sum has come from banks and financial firms, which have given nearly $18 million. Real estate and construction firms have contributed about $17 million to Schnorzy's campaign. He is a voracious fundraiser. He has collected more than $114 million in campaign funds since he entered the recall campaign in 2003. So the breakdown of that, $114 since he entered in 2003, the largest sum has come from banks and financial firms, which have given nearly $18 million. Real estate and construction firms. A lot of you didn't want to vote for Phil because you know, developer, real estate. Well, Schnorzy's biggest contributors are real estate and construction firms. They've contributed about $17 million. The entertainment industry has kicked in more than $12 million. High-tech firms, about $7 million. Insurers, nearly $5 million. And agricultural interests, about $4 million. Many of these interests maintain an active lobbying presence in Sacramento. So you have got the people like Susan Kennedy making about $325, most of it from special interests, more of it from special interest money than comes from the taxpayers, than comes from her state salary. Do you have a problem with this? Do you think that this is good policy? Is this something that we want to encourage? Schnorzy giving his four key people, the people he likes the most, bonus money. It didn't come out of his pocket. It didn't come out of state coffers. It came out of special interest money he's great at raising all this money. Do you find this troubling? 349-1320, 866 626 1320. So four of his aides got big bonuses for their political work. And does it trouble you that his people who are on state salary are able to do campaign work for him on the side? A lot of states have rules against that sort of thing. Can you envision a scenario where that would not be a good thing at all? So that's what you've got going here with Schnorzy. He is hinting that there are going to be big changes in the prison system. California sends too many lawbreakers to high-security prisons when some could be housed in less secure settings, more focused on turning criminals' lives around, said Schnorzy. As Democrats introduced a counterproposal to a key aspect of his prison agenda, Schwarzenegger offered his most expansive take on reforming the correction system by saying prisons were partially overcrowded because the wrong people were incarcerated there. The statements illustrate a governor contemplating a potential major change in state prison policy, which for decades has focused on sending inmates to remote, costly prisons no matter what their crime. And I want to talk about this because I don't know if you saw it over the weekend, but there was a really wonderful piece in the Bee on what happens to our prisoners. Now, Schwarzenegger's got to do something because you got a powder keg going on in the prison system. And in a case that was just decided, today, Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court today struck down a part of California's 30-year-old sentencing law, which allows judges to add several years to a criminal's prison term. The ruling could mean new sentencing hearings for several thousand state prisoners who were recently given longer terms if their sentences are still being appeal, they can take advantage of today's ruling. The decision today does not necessarily mean that prisoners will get lighter sentences, but the Supreme Court's interest was not whether prison terms are too long or too short, but rather how they are decided. So in a 6-3 ruling, the justices said California's sentencing law is flawed because it promises defendants a middle term, prison term, when they have been convicted of a crime, but then it allows judges to impose a much longer term based on, quote, facts decided by the judge alone. This extra prison time violates the defendant's right to a trial by jury, the court said. Paradoxically, the solution may be to give judges even more authority to decide on a prison sentence, said the High Court. The ball lies in California's court, said Ruth Bader Ginsburg, apparently reviewing to the state Supreme Court. It could follow the lead of other states and call upon the jury, either at trial or in a separate sentencing proceeding, to find any fact necessary to the imposition of an elevated sentence, or could do the opposite and permit judges genuinely to exercise broad discretion with a statutory range to impose a sentence. Now, I say all of this because something we've talked about, and here I see it, and this is a piece now in the Bee, and this is written by Roger Warren, a former Sacramento Superior Court judge. He is president emeritus of the National Center for State Courts in Williamsburg, Virginia, a scholar in residence for the Judicial Council of California. He testified before the Little Hoover Commission at a hearing on sentencing reform in June 2006. So here's what happens, and here's what he says. When you are a judge, here is what happens. Criminal cases, he says, dominate the workload of California judges, who sentence more than 135,000 felony offenders a year. The hardest cases are not those of the most violent or dangerous criminals or the sexual predators. Those offenders belong in prison and constitute only about 10% of the cases. Cases where the law mandates a prison sentence under circumstances that a judge considers unjust are hard, but they are also rare. For many judges, the most difficult and frustrating aspect of handling felony cases is dealing with the crushing volume of repeat offenders, most charged with nonviolent crimes, who constitute the vast majority of felony cases. Year after year, California judges sentence repeat offenders to jail and probation and finally prison with little hope for success in changing an offender's future criminal behavior. Over time, judges grow increasingly cynical and discouraged. Every day, judges see that our current sentencing policies are not working, and they question whether there isn't a better way. California's sentencing policies, he goes on to say, aren't working because, more than any other state, California relies overwhelmingly on incarceration as the answer to every crime, rather than to invest in meaningful adult probation services and effective community corrections programs to reduce crime. So let me give you that again. What California does, because it's been so politically viable for lawmakers, California focuses and leans on overwhelmingly on incarceration as the answer to every crime, and it is not the answer to every crime. So California, as a result, is not investing in meaningful adult probation services. It's not investing in effective community corrections programs to reduce crime. We need, former Judge Warren says, we need to put the concept of corrections back into the corrections profession. California has the highest recidivism rate in the country. It means repeat offender. And so, as a result, the most overcrowded prisons, about half of the people in the most overcrowded prisons, are those sentenced to prison every year. They're nonviolent offenders, previously sentenced to prison, but never for a violent crime. So they break, you know, they do something wrong, they come back into the pokey. Two-thirds of parolees are returned to prison within 3 years, twice the national average. Two-thirds of parolees are returned to prison within 3 years. It is twice the national average. 88% of those parolees are returned because of new criminal activity. And we don't do anything except warehouse these people once we've got them in the pokey. So they go in, they go out. It's a revolving door. They're back. Most of them are back within 3 years. But while they're out, they might commit a crime. They might move in next door to you. They haven't learned too much about getting off drugs because we don't have a whole lot of programs to help rehabilitate people who are in the pokey. We mainly are warehousing them. We have mainly decided to incarcerate them at a huge amount of money. You could send them to Harvard. You could send them to Stanford for what it costs to keep most of them in the pokey. And they come right back in. most of them are, many of them are nonviolent, so that's maybe not the best way to deal with them. From an effectiveness standpoint, that is to say, not the best way to deal with them so that they don't come back in, so that they learn new skills, maybe learn job skills, maybe get a GED, maybe get off drugs, you know, maybe learn better behavior, you know, options, modification programs, whatever they want to call it. So the anger management, if, in case it works, all of that stuff, we don't do anything. We just keep rehousing them at the highest possible. It's like having all of your medical treatment. The analogy would be having all of your medical treatment in the ER. And that's what we're doing with these prisons. And this judge is saying rehabilitation is the key to reform. What are your thoughts about that? Are you on board with this? Do you not want to spend the money for it? Hey, they're in the pokey. They're away from me. Listen, there's a huge difference between if you're in the pokey for crack cocaine or if you're in there for powder cocaine. There's, you know, you can be in the pokey because of mandatory minimums regarding drug sentencing. There are lots of reasons you're in the pokey that have nothing to do with violence. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Goldstein, you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on 1320 KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, our lows tonight on this Monday, 34 highs coming up tomorrow, 60, 61, partly cloudy, but, well, who cares, because it's going to be gorgeous, in my opinion, 62 degrees. Our traffic seems to be as gorgeous at 325. We do have a little stop down at southbound 99. And at Truxell Road, it looks like there's a three-car crash. No injuries, though. Things are going good over there. They've just got emergency vehicles blocking the lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
It's Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Top three reasons.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Monday edition of Enid Live. Blue Monday, but not around here. Well, blue if you mean Democrats as opposed to Red Monday, but we're perky as ever on Enid Live. Yours until 7, 3 to 7. You can join the conversation, and we love it when you do because it's a better conversation when you're part of it. 349-1320, 349-1320-866-626-1320. And if you were just joining us, let me tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about several things. First of all, we're talking about the governor having given bonuses to four of his top staffers for having worked on his campaign. A lot of states have laws against that. You can't be serving two masters at the same time. You can't be on the same state payroll and then working on campaigns. And the bonuses, $100,000 to his chief of staff, Susan Kennedy, came from special interests, people, corporations that have business before the governor, before the state, before the legislature. Altogether, she got almost $325,000 with her state salary and with the bonuses. She got $325,000. Adam Mendelson, he got a $75,000 bonus. He's the communications director for Arnold. And it boosts his pay to $211,000. Maria Shriver's chief of staff got a $25,000 campaign bonus, supplementing his state salary of $123,000, so about $150,000 altogether for him. Clay Russell, who's the governor's personal assistant, he got a $48,000 bonus, coupled with a separate $20,000 campaign salary. So it boosted his compensation by about 80%. I don't know what his total figures are exactly. So is this good government in action? Is this good government policy? You have thoughts about this? What happens when, for example, in the case of Susan Kennedy, the bulk of her income comes from special interests? Do you think it will have any effect at all on how she decides this or that, or what advice she offers to the governor? And then we're looking, Arnold is hinting that there are going to be big changes in the prison system. There is a Supreme Court decision that just came down today. The Supreme Court struck down a California sentencing law today, ruling the judges cannot impose increased sentences based on aggravating factors that were not determined by a jury. They sided with the plaintiff in the case. This is an interesting story. John Cunningham, he's a police officer convicted by a jury in Contra Costa County of sexually abusing his young son. Police officer convicted of sexually abusing his young son. The judge in the case imposed the maximum prison sentence of 16 years based on six aggravating factors. But Cunningham argued, and apparently successfully argued, that the judge based the sentence on facts not determined by the jury in violation of his Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial and his 14th Amendment right to due process. He claimed that five of the six aggravating factors should have been excluded from the sentencing decision because the jury had not found them proved beyond a reasonable doubt. In Cunningham's case, the Supreme Court ruling effectively reduces his prison term by 4 years, but its impact on other sentences will likely depend on reexaminations of the affected cases. So many of these cases might have to be redecided in the state of California. And now you also have a prison system that is in meltdown. Schwartzy is giving hints as to the changes. What he's looking into issues of corrections reform. He is saying things along the lines, giving hints as what his thinking might be, in case thinking isn't too strong a word to use for what his activity consists of. We feel that there are people, Schwartz, he says, who are nonviolent offenders that have committed major crimes, that there's no reason that they should be in the same place as someone who has raped and killed. So they're looking at alternative forms of punishment. In the state of California, what we tend to do is we incarcerate. We don't have much in the way of probation services. We don't have much in the way of rehab. And when we incarcerate you, we just dump you in a corner. You know, we give you some TVs, we give you some weights, you get a little exercise in the yard, and you don't get a whole lot else than that. We warehouse you. A place where we could, and the thing is, 80% of... two-thirds, so 66% of parolees are returned to prison within 3 years, twice the national average. So we have an incredibly high rate of incarceration in the state of California. Let's see, we have the highest recidivism rate in the country, and as a result, the most overcrowded prisons. So two-thirds are back within 3 years, and they come back just as, you know, if here's what you get when you go to prison in California. You don't get rehab much of the time. You don't get corrected much of the time. You just get warehoused, and what you do is you graduate with a degree in advanced criminal behavior. That's what you do, and then somebody, one of these people moves in next door to you, across the street from you, does something within 3 years back in the system. It's a revolving door of justice, and we are doing it at the highest possible price. This is like if you've got a hangnail, we're sending you to the emergency room, because there are people in prison. Because of mandatory minimums, a mandatory minimum sentence that is required in drug cases. And these are people who aren't violent, who got caught up in a drug situation. They don't need to be imprisoned at a cost of what it costs you to send somebody to Harvard or Stanford a year. There could be some alternate form of a punishment or correction or whatever you want to call it. What are your thoughts about this? So here it is. We are out of step. We are out of control in the state of California because everybody's angry. And here's what we want to do. We say, we're going to incarcerate you. We are sending you to the pokey. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Arnold has met Hillary many times. He says, I've met her many times, and she is a great person. I don't think gender is a prerequisite to be president. If she does run for president, I have no doubt she would be a very strong candidate. Well, she's thrown her hat into the ring. She's thrown her headband into the ring, and she says, I'm in it to win. And he was also asked, Arnold in a press conference was asked, how do you feel about the fact that California, this was a good question, is leading the way in plastic surgery? Is it a sad reflection on how sick society has become now? Arnold is, according to Bob Mulholland, Arnold is so Botoxed up he can't summon up an expression. Bob Mulholland says he's had a lot of plastic surgery. So here's what Arnold says in the light of all of this. Plastic surgery, Arnold says, like many other choices a person makes over their body, is a personal decision. However, he says, I'm glad that we in California have some of the best plastic surgeons in the world, so that if someone does choose to undergo a procedure, they can do it, knowing they are under the care of a highly qualified and licensed professional. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Patricia in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I wanted to mention the idea of being incarcerated for drug use. I watched the special with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! On that, and what they were talking about is how a lot of these people who get incarcerated for drug use, when they go into prison, they actually have better access to the drugs than they do on the streets.
Oh, yeah. You can get anything you want in prison. You can. You're absolutely right. You're right. You can even get more of it than on the streets.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until I watched that program. And the other thing they were mentioning is, I think in most of the Western Europe countries, so Italy, France, Germany, their laws are certain drugs now. If you have it for personal use, meaning you're smoking marijuana just for yourself, you don't go to prison for it. But if you're caught selling it, you know, trying to create a business out of it, then you go to prison. So they even have different, you know, drug laws than we have here. So that's, I think, why they have less incarcerated people.
Well, let me throw something into the conversation. Because we are stretched thin and our first responders are in Iraq, the U.S. government has cut its role in the drug war. Now, this is a war we lost a long time ago. But because we are so strapped, the military is so strapped, it is the role of the military has been cut in the drug war, interestingly enough. And also, this comes at a time when you have record opium crops coming out of Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, that's their main export now. Now they got the business rolling better than they did before.
So, Patricia, I think,
interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. We're such a great help to the universe. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate
you.
It. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Well, let me give you this. The Justice Department, I want to give you two stories here, and I want to juxtapose them. The Justice Department has issued subpoenas to at least four Wall Street investment banks. As part of a widening investigation, and some of them have offices abroad, and most of them, and because of, well, let me tell you the story, because this is an interesting story. The Justice Department has issued subpoenas to at least four Wall Street investment banks, really fancy ones, as part of a widening investigation into the multi-billion-dollar online gambling industry. The subpoenas were issued to firms that had underwritten the initial public offerings of some of the most popular online gambling sites that operate abroad. The banks involved in the inquiry include HSBC, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, and Dresdner Kleinwort, these people said. While online gaming sites like Party Gaming and 888 Holdings operate from Gibraltar and their initial public offerings were held on the London Stock Exchange, companies that do business with them and have large bases in the U.S. have come under scrutiny by regulators in Washington. None of the biggest U.S. banks like Goldman Sachs or Citigroup underwrote the IPOs in London, in part because of the legal ambiguity of the sites. They are illegal. These online gambling sites are illegal in the U.S., but still accessible to residents. And so there's a kind of a gray area there. These are subpoenas reported by the Sunday Times of London, appear to be part of an indirect but aggressive and far-reaching attack by our federal prosecutors on the internet gambling industry just 2 weeks before one of the biggest days of the year, the Super Bowl. Now, I want to ask you a question, because the LA Times is reporting in a sort of related but unrelated story that a burdened U.S. stretched thin from fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S. military has sharply reduced its role in the war on drugs, leaving significant gaps in the nation's narcotics interdiction efforts. And I will go into that, but now we are stretched so thin, and I realize that's the military and one is the Department of Justice, but we are stretched so thin with the military that it has cut our role in the drug war. And yet, here we are, there you have Dickey pulling out 6, 7, 8, 9 U.S. district attorneys, some of them who have been very successful prosecutors, and we've been talking about that. It's been a little bit of an under-the-radar story. And yet, the Department of Justice, which apparently doesn't have enough to do, is going after four huge international financial institutions because they helped to underwrite initial public offerings of companies involved in online gambling. Now, I'm not an online gambler. I know there's been a whole effort to crack down on it. Apparently, you cannot, they are illegal in the U.S., but if you are gambling on a site that's headquartered in Gibraltar, apparently it's still accessible. And they're doing this, I guess, because it's 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl. Does anybody have any ideas why we are committing resources to this when we have other fish to fry? Why is online gambling such a big deal for the administration? Now, remember, They've tried to divert our attention with kiddie porn. Alberto Gonzalez going after kiddie porn big time when we're supposed to be dealing with terrorism. When we don't have the resources. If there were ever a tragedy on these shores, our first responders are stuck incarcerated in Iraq. Burdened U.S. military cuts its role in the drug war, but the DOJ has found time to rip up medical marijuana gardens in Los Angeles and Santa Cruz and so forth. They have found time to issue gambling subpoenas on these huge international banking operations having to do with online gambling, online but offshore gambling, where it is accessible to Americans. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, these people are crazy. The priorities in this administration, they are nuts. And I don't understand what they're thinking, comma, if anything. 349-1320, 866-620, 61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Northbound I-5 to westbound 50. We do have a vehicle that is blocking the on-ramp to get back on the highway. Eastbound I-80 just west of Auburn Boulevard. Our two-car crash there has turned into quite a menace, I believe. They are got emergency vehicles over there and stopping traffic down onto the on-ramp there. Ethan Way at Cottage Way, we do have a two-car crash. And, well, Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
Hi, this is Randy Rose, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. The only channel left.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with like a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are anytime minutes?
Well, they're like anytime minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's eeny weeny.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now, with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're going to have a special edition of Enid Live tomorrow. We'll be taking the State of the Union speech live, scheduled for 6 o'clock Pacific, and following it, the Democratic response. And both should be good, actually. I know Dickey's numbers are horrible, and we're going to talk about that, because usually when he gives a speech, there's a bump up in his numbers. Not only was there not a bump up the surge speech that he gave, but actually his numbers got even lower, if you can imagine that. And they are now at the lowest point. They're at Nixon's level. They're at Nixonian levels. And this speech, apparently the speechwriters are under a lot of pressure. Well, we'll talk about that. There's a lot of juicy stuff to discuss. But what we're talking about is the administration, and somehow administration theoretically, using its dwindling and strapped and stretched thin resources, is finding a lot of time to rip up medical marijuana gardens in Southern California and in Santa Cruz and in Los Angeles, and that has happened in the past. And yet, at the same time, our military is so stretched thin that the military has cut its role in the drug war. Since 2002, the military has withdrawn many of these resources. Initial records show that in the last 4 years, the Pentagon has reduced by more than 62% its surveillance flight hours over Caribbean and Pacific Ocean routes that are used to smuggle cocaine, marijuana, and increasingly Colombian-produced heroin. At the same time, the Navy is deploying one-third fewer patrol boats in search of smugglers. Well, you know, it probably, the fact that there isn't so much overflight, I wonder if it's even made any difference, the 62% reduction in the military involved in the drug war. Because you know what? It's getting in anyway. It's coming in from from Afghanistan. We're helping to make the world safe for Afghanistan opium. And here is the Department of Justice. The Justice Department has issued subpoenas to at least four Wall Street investment banks, big ones, headquartered internationally, because they helped in the initial public offerings offered on the London Stock Exchange of big online gambling companies. None of the U.S. Big banks like Goldman Sachs or Citigroup got involved because apparently there's a great deal of legal ambiguity on these online gambling sites. They are illegal in the U.S., but they are still accessible to residents. Now, I thought that they were trying to close it down and make it illegal for residents to use. Are any of you involved in online gambling? How does it work? Because I know there was a big push to shut everything down, but if the company is not headquartered in the U.S., if it's headquartered in, say, Gibraltar or some other, you know, offshore, and listen to what the U.S. has done. These are subpoenas. The Times of London has reported on these subpoenas. They're supposed to be very part of an aggressive and far-reaching attack by U.S. prosecutors on Internet gambling, and this is happening 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. Unable to go directly after the casinos because they are based overseas, the U.S. has sought to prosecute the operation's American partners. So if you are an American partner of a casino, based overseas, not doing business in this country, but accessible online to U.S. residents. And if you are marketing, maybe doing advertising on behalf, you know, not doing gambling, but you're maybe a marketer and you're on American soil, you are a target. And here's what they have done. There were some big executives, for example, of some of these online prosecutors' efforts have already taken a toll in the last 2 years of offshore casinos, most notably with the arrest last year of a man named David Carruthers. He's the chief executive of an internet sports book. The company is based in Britain, and it has operations in Costa Rica. But Mr. Carruthers was detained at the Dallas airport because he was traveling through the U.S. So it didn't matter that his sports book was not based on U.S. soil. The company's based in Britain, but it has operations in Costa Rica. They still detained him when his plane made a stop in Dallas. Several weeks later, the agents of the Port Authority of New York arrested a man named Peter Dix, the chairman of another sporting, betting casino kind of an online gambling site, which offers online sports betting, and like Mr. Carruthers' company, trades on the London Stock Exchange. So these are companies that are trading on the London Stock Exchange, and Mr. Dix, the head of this company, was arrested at Kennedy Airport. Last week, a British online money transfer business called Neteller said it would cease handling gambling transactions from U.S. customers because of regulatory uncertainty. It appears that the Department of Justice is waging a war of intimidation against Internet gambling, said a law professor at Whittier Law School in Costa Mesa, who is an expert on Internet gambling law. Another attorney said that the development was disconcerting because the prevailing wisdom had been that investment in a company that's legal and licensed in its jurisdiction was not grounds for prosecution. What do you think about that? And do you bet online? 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Does this mean they'll go after you? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, southbound 99 on Laguna Boulevard. We have a vehicle stopped down. Looks like the doors are open, slowing things down a little bit over there. Main Avenue at Central Avenue, two-car crash at Marconi Avenue at Garfield Avenue. A three-car crash. Emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. We have lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow near 60. What a gorgeous, lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live it will be. 55 degrees, and Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the one you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hurry into match.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
More pressure on the president.
The Senate disagrees with the plan to augment our forces by 21,500.
In retailing, a gap between promises and performance.
It's no surprise that Paul Pressler is resigning.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. An influential senator has joined the opposition to the new strategy in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
As the top Republican on the Armed Services Committee and former Secretary of the Navy, Virginia Senator John Warner carries some weight, and he is now sponsoring a resolution opposing sending more troops to Iraq.
The American GI was not trained, not sent over there, certainly not by resolution of this institution, to be placed in the middle of a fight between the Sunni and the Shia.
Warner hopes the language he's proposing will gather more bipartisan support than an earlier version, but between them, five Republican senators now say they'll vote with the Democrats against the president's plan. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush goes into the State of the Union address with his lowest approval rating ever in the CBS News poll. Just 28% say they approve of the way he's doing his job overall. 64% say that they disapprove.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says just 29% support the troop surge in Iraq. Now this.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Only at your dealership.
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
A new taped message from Osama bin Laden's chief deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, taunts President Bush, saying he could send the entire army to Iraq and insurgents would defeat them all. Sunni insurgents linked to al-Qaeda claim responsibility for the downing of a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter, killing a dozen soldiers. U.S. military officials suspect it was hit by a shoulder-fired missile. After the killing of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports a disturbing discovery was made.
U.S. troops there found in a safe house some documents suggesting that al-Qaeda from Iraq wanted to mount an attack inside the United States. Now, it's not news that al-Qaeda has been trying to attack the United States. We saw that on 9/11, of course. But this was the latest concrete example of an ongoing plan that was still in the works. Now, intelligence officials say they are satisfied. They have totally negated the plan. One official said all of the guys behind this are gone, either in custody or dead.
U.S. and Iraqi forces have launched an offensive in a Sunni stronghold in Baghdad. Sunnis are blamed for today's bombing of a Baghdad market that killed nearly 100 people. Shakeups at two big companies today. Pfizer, blaming stiff competition from generic drugs, announced a restructuring that will eliminate 10,000 jobs.
It's a very difficult decision, but one that we have to make given a lot of manufacturing overcapacity around the world.
Spokesman Paul Fitzhenry says at least five facilities will be closed. At the Gap, a sales slide this year culminated in a horrible holiday season, so CEO Paul Pressler is out. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger of Strategic Resource Group says Pressler never was a good fit.
Wrong person at the wrong time. He came from Disney, which does not have a big retail group, and he did not have an operational flair and certainly did not have a good eye for merchandising and let a lot of good people at Banana and Old Navy and Gap go.
Pressler walks away with a $14 million severance package. Anti-abortion activists stage their annual event in Washington, marking the 34th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. President Bush addressed the gathering by phone, listing his administration's anti-abortion credentials.
We promoted adoption, support parental notification laws, ended federal funding for abortions overseas, and are funding crisis pregnancy programs.
Mr. Bush indicated he continues to oppose expansion of embryonic stem cell research. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. It's supposed to be Blue Monday, but you know, if you're a Democrat, it's always blue everything. We don't want red everything. And if you're listening to Enid Live, how blue can you know? It should perk. Well, we're hoping to perk each other up here. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And tomorrow, 3 to infinity, I think, because we are going to bring you the State of the Union Address, Dickies, at 6 o'clock. Right now, we're being told it will go for about 40 minutes, and then we will bring you the Democratic response, which ought to be interesting because it's by James Webb. And I'm going to tell you, I think for a while I was thinking, you know, we need to do it. We need to bring you the State of the Union. But now I'm really genuinely excited about it because I think it's going to be way more revealing than we can imagine. I really think so. Yes, I have all kinds of juicy details that I want to share with you. And the Webb response ought to be pretty good. He is has written all these best-selling thrillers and so I would think that he will have some interesting things to say. And so we will be bringing you all of that tomorrow. And then after everybody has finished talking, we will take your calls. It will be an extended edition of Enid Live. And you will be free to call in, register your thoughts about the speech. You know, if events warranted, I might provide running commentary under Dickey's speech. We'll see. You'll still be able to hear it. But that's tomorrow, 6 o'clock. And write down the numbers because you're going to want to call in, I think. And we can discuss it. So, as I have said before, instead of getting mad at your beloved or your kids or your pet, which you're supposed to call a domestic companion, you can call in and weigh in, and we would love to have your sharp, acute, wonderful observations. This will be the place to share them. 349-1320, 349-1320, or 866-626-1320, both tomorrow night and right now. These are the numbers to call. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it. We love it when you call in because it makes for a way more interesting conversation. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and you can access us on the net, 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. Well, the big news over the weekend is that Obama and Hillary he's forming an exploratory committee. She says her hat's in the race and she's in it. I'm in it to win, she says. And I have some numbers. This is from a CBS news poll talking about the numbers here for Hillary and for Obama. And looks like Hillary has got some pretty high negatives to contend with, and we'll discuss that as we continue, but she's got some really, all right, let me give it to you right now. Her favorables, if you were guessing, if you didn't know, among registered voters, what would you think her favorables were vis-a-vis of Barack's? You want to guess? And you want to guess what her unfavorables are vis-a-vis Barack? In other words, what percentage is favorable to Hillary? You want to guess on that? 349-1320. And where do you think Obama is? Favorables. So what percentage among all registered voters, not just Democratic voters, but all registered voters, what percentage of the population is favorable to Hillary and what percentage of the population is favorable to Obama, Barack Obama? 349-1320. You want to give it a guess? 866-626-1320. How close or how far apart are they in terms of favorables? Pluses. Would you vote for them? Do you regard them favorably? I'm going to share with you the Borowitz report as you're deciding whether or not you can give me a number. But Clinton versus Obama, you want to guess on what the favorables are? Where is Clinton versus Obama right now among all registered voters? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And meanwhile, I'm going to read you today's Borowitz report. I'll share it with you. Comma, satire. Poll, 100% of Republicans support Hillary's decision to run. GOP reaction ranges from ecstatic to euphoric. Just days after announcing her candidacy for president, Senator Hillary Clinton Her decision to run for her party's nomination has picked up support in an unlikely place, with a new poll showing that an overwhelming 100% of Republicans favor her decision to run. The poll, conducted by the University of Minnesota's Opinion Research Institute, shows that while only 41% of Democrats support Clinton's decision to run, a full 100% of Republicans identify themselves as either ecstatic or euphoric about her decision. Over the weekend, Senator Clinton announced to the country, "I'm in," said the Opinion Research Institute, and Republican voters seem to have responded, "We're stoked." Senator Clinton's poll numbers are in stark contrast with the level of GOP support for Senator Barack Obama's decision to run for president, which stands at 0%. So Republicans are 100% ecstatic that Hillary is running and 0% ecstatic that Barack Obama is. When asked what they did when they found out that Senator Clinton had announced her candidacy, 51% of Republicans responded, "Cracked open some champagne," while 49% answered, "Danced a jig." But despite the overwhelming poll numbers, support among Republicans for Senator Clinton's decision to run faces a threat from one possible X factor, Senator John Kerry. According to the poll, 100% of Republican voters agree with the statement, quote, "If John Kerry decided to run again, I would even be more stoked than I am about Hillary deciding to run, and I'm already really stoked about her running." The Borowitz Report, satire. So what do you think the favorables are for Hillary? What are the favorables for Obama right now? 349-1320. I just have the just hot off the press CBS poll results. What are your thoughts? Farshad, hi. Calling from El Dorado Hills. You're live with Enid. Hi, Farshad.
Hi there. Is John Edwards running?
Yeah, but these are just the numbers between Clinton and Obama right now.
Well, I don't think either of them have a chance to win at all.
You don't. You want to tell me?
Definitely.
What? Well, first of all, why do you think that neither one can win?
Hillary, for two reasons. One is, for me at least, being a woman doesn't really matter to me at all. I mean, she could be a woman, but she could be a good leader, and that would take care of it. But in general, I don't think that. I think that's going to work against her. And second thing is that her standing before war, side by side, and becoming like a hawk herself, just because she was under the impression that that's where the population is going, and that really put a really bad taste in my mouth. And
But what was your number one reason for why she can't win? Not that she's a woman, but what?
I just don't think she has it. She has it in her to win. I don't think our society is ready for her. And for somebody like her. And
all right, let me fast forward it. I agree with you.
Leader.
I agree with you. Well, do you think, setting all of those reservations aside, that she's a lightning rod, that she polarizes people, that a lot of people don't like her, but a lot of people do, do you think she could be a good president?
No, because I think she sold out.
Because she tried to...
If she had the same stand as she does now, back then, I would have definitely voted for her, because to me that was a sign of leadership. And because she flip-flopped, and because she is like going wherever the wind blows, and to me that's really awful. And she can be bought and sold like any other politician.
So what do you think then? Why don't you look in the tea leaves, put your guessing game hat on. What do you think her favorables are opposed to Barack's? What percentage of all registered voters regard her favorably? What percentage of all registered voters regard Barack Obama favorably, if you were guessing?
I really don't think she has anything positive compared to Barack. I don't even know Barack.
Give me a number. Can you give me a number, Farshad?
I would say compared to Barack Obama?
Uh-huh.
I would say that she probably has 40% chance.
And what do you think he has?
If she has 40, then Barack has 60.
Well, actually, you're close in one and far off on the other. The favorables on Hillary Clinton are 36% favorable compared to Barack's favorables of 29%. But here's where it breaks down. The unfavorables are 36. She has as many favorable percent votes as she does unfavorable. So she's 36% in both. And he is 29% on 29% favorable, with only 9% unfavorable. So nobody knows enough about him to dislike him.
Exactly.
He has that rock star kind of persona. I think some people are feeling like, you know, maybe he's a little bit too newbie to be a president. He has, you know, he's not tested. He's not seasoned. And
you know, that was a very good point. I really don't know where he stands or what he is, the way he talks, but just from seeing him and the way he carries himself, it appears to me that he is immature.
Immature.
Yes.
Okay. Farshad, we'll leave it there. I thank you very much for the call. Is he right about that? Now, I have to say it. I don't have the details. Barack Obama, who I've liked a lot, he is a rock star, great responses, great way with the electorate and so on, got involved in some kind of a sleazy land deal in Chicago. Not as bad as what Dennis Hastert did, but something that had a bad odor about it. I don't have the details about it, but I have been reading sort of around it. So if you have some details, we can talk about that. Julie in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Julie.
Hi, I just want to say where Hillary's concerned with me is she didn't really make a stand about on the war. I mean, she really still hasn't made a stand other than saying she wants to cap the troops. She hasn't made a stand on the war.
She said that she wanted to cap the troops in response to Barack Obama. That forced her into saying it.
I know, because before that she wasn't saying anything about, I mean, she's basically been saying, well, we got to almost stay the course, if you ask me. She has not been against really standing up against the war. And I don't, her personality, I think Brahma has much better charisma, and he talks much more clearer, and he's always been against the war.
All right, so set aside everything. Once they're in office, forget about running the campaign, because that's a whole
right.
That's a whole other kettle of fish. Who is going to be the better president?
I'd rather see them both be vice presidents. I'd rather see, like, either Edwards or Biden be president. I think Biden's very intelligent.
Biden's never going to make it. He plagiarized.
I know.
He plagiarized some stuff some years back, and I don't really think he's got the. I don't think he's got the juice for attracting all those votes. I just don't think he's got it.
Well, I don't think Hillary does either. She comes off too. She doesn't have the charisma. She doesn't.
But you're voting on charisma, Julie. A lot of people voted on charisma, and look what they got. They got this jerk in the White House. They got Dickey.
Oh, yes, I agree with that. Well, yeah, but he didn't have charisma to me either.
He had packaging, and he had a way with people that was very appealing to a lot of people. He was Mr. Yep, Mr. Nope. My father went to Greenwich Country Day, but I went to San Jacinto Junior High in Texas. I mean, that was what he had.
He's never had charisma for me, okay, personally. But Obama does. I've read his, a lot of his things. I think he would be a much better VP just to get, experience in and to get some more voting. I mean, how he stands and everything else.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. We got a lot of Democrats with their hats in the ring, and their bodies are elsewhere. We have John Edwards. We have Joe Biden. We have, over the weekend, Bill Richardson from New Mexico. But these are people who could also be potential vice presidential. And you never know how it's going to shake out. I mean, you know, the people who are the front runners and right now are, and you've got Hillary, who is definitely, she's in, and she says, I'm in to win. Okay. Now, if you are in the Democratic Party, if you're a Democratic primary voter, here is your opinion of Hillary. It's 57% favorable, and of Obama, 40% favorable. On Hillary, not favorable, drops down to 12%, and on Obama, not favorable, 3%. And big numbers of undecideds. A lot of people don't know yet how they're going to go. JP and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, JP.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
So regarding Barack Obama, I've been listening, you know, audiobook of Audacity of Hope, and he comes off as extremely bright, and I think generally a good person, but my impression is that he is so moderate and so able to see all sides. I have a feeling that may not work for, at least it's not working for me being a Democrat, in the sense that I want to hear a little bit more of a directed, strong opinion. You know, he did vote for the war. I do understand that he was like 2 days on the floor before he had to make such a vote.
Wait, did he or did he not? I thought he did not.
Well, I for some reason recall that he did. Now, maybe need to clarify that.
All right, but now, let's find out about that. Did he vote? Did he not vote? Now, that was in 2003. I don't think he was in yet. 2002. Was he in yet?
Well,
I don't think he was. I don't think he was. I'm thinking that he was not serving yet. That's just off the top of my head. So let's look that up, and we'll get back to you on it. But you're saying he's too moderate. You want red meat. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not saying red meat like, you know, incredible amounts of red meat, but just a sense that there is a direction that is really, you know, representing not only my disgust for the extremity of the white ring right now of the right wing. But just a sense of moving our country forward. I mean, if you listen to him, he talks about, well, I can see this side, and I can see this side, and then I can see this side, and then I can see this side.
You know, this is like talk radio. There is a host in San Francisco, and he says, on the one hand this, and on the other hand that. And just as he's chugging toward an opinion, which he never gets to, you just want to throttle the guy because it's on the one hand and on the other hand. So if he had about four hands, it would be on all those hands.
Exactly.
All right, so who are you going to go for then?
Well, I'm actually very confused. I personally would love to see John Edwards with Barack Obama as vice president.
That could work. And just to clarify your comments, JP, Barack Obama was elected 2 years ago. I think he was serving in the Illinois state legislature up until that time. So he didn't vote. He did not vote on the war, on authorizing the war, giving the power, president powers to authorize.
Okay.
So he's one of the clean hands crowd on that one.
Well, he's so worried about being a clean hand, though, too, at the same time. That's my feeling.
Okay, we'll leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Marjorie and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You were talking about the shallow Ron Owens, I know.
No, actually. Actually, no. There, it wasn't him. He does actually. No, it was somebody else, actually. But go ahead, Marjorie.
Okay. Hillary. I got to tell you about Hillary. Now, don't forget, she was all kissy face with Newt Gingrich and all cuddly with Rupert Murdoch. And John McLaughlin group, Tony Blankley, at the end of the year, their prognostications, he says that Hillary is going to be the candidate. And then a week or so later, I think it was a week later, he said again, they want her to be the candidate.
Well, because Republicans are 100% ecstatic because they think she's such a lightning rod. Is that what you're saying?
No, they think they can beat her. That's why they're promoting her. They think they can beat her.
Well, that's what I mean, that they're ecstatic.
Okay.
You know, they can use her for fundraising. Like, do you want this woman to be president? Well, help us knock her out of the box.
And you know, Barack Obama, there was a pretty good little article on him in the Bee with his background. I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, he really is moderate, but he does things. He gets things done. And I agree with the people who say John Edwards and Barack Obama.
You like that combo?
So far, really good.
Well, Edwards has had a very distinguished career. And again, he was also, I don't think he voted. I think he was out by the time the vote took place. So I don't know that I don't think he voted to authorize the war. So I think both of them have clean hands in that regard. Marjorie, go ahead.
Joe Biden.
What?
Joe Biden, he's a hack. Tired of him.
Well, and he had, you know what? And he had that kind of surgery where he used to be bald.
Yes.
But now hair has suspiciously sprung up where none was, where it was barren before. Marjorie, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. I think he had one of those transplant-y things. Steve in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Enid. Hey, I don't think that Hillary, in my opinion, would be electable. If you look at from her college days, moving with Bill back to his home state and whatnot, I think everything she does is self-deserving. I don't really think she has interest in anything or anybody under herself, and that's just my opinion. And Barack, I think that would be like putting a kindergartner as a mayor of your town. I think he needs to be seasoned before he could even be considered. So
but it doesn't matter. You're not going to vote for either one of them because you're a conservative Republican, Steve.
I would certainly consider voting for Richardson.
Why Richardson? Bill Richardson. He's been a good ambassador, actually.
He's a great guy out of New Mexico, and I spend a lot of time back there working and whatnot, and I just see that for the first part, there hasn't been any scandals on him, nothing that I've seen. So I can wash my hands of any of that stuff out of the closet. The other thing, the way that he deals with the border issues and just like the immigration stuff that he has and then his social services, I just like the way that he does stuff, and it's that if you go into New Mexico, it's actually a very beautiful state, and it seems that they've done a real good job of their building and their codes and the way that they're doing things. It's not just, hey, we can get money here. Let's just put up a mall, you know? And
I love New Mexico. I love the quality of light. There's something very magical about New Mexico.
It's a beautiful place, and I think that they've done a pretty good job of preserving it. And if
if anybody deserves a credit, and I would say that at as far as I could see, that would be him, and that's one person that I would really consider jumping fence for.
Steve, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Thank you very much, Enid. Auburn Boulevard at Bell Street, we have a two-car crash slowing things down just a little bit over there, westbound 50. Usually pretty slow, especially going over top of the mountain. We have a couple of car crashes there. Hit and run, no injuries, but emergency vehicles are stopping the lane down Churchill Road en route to eastbound I-80. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Paper bags and plastic hearts, all our belongings in shopping carts. Goodbye. But we got one more night. Let's get drunk and ride around and make peace with an empty town. We can.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, perk you right up if you listen until 7, 3 to 7, well, we hope. Could be depressing, too. Wait to hear what I have to say about Dickie. And I want to remind you, we are carrying the State of the Union speech live tomorrow at 6, and the Democratic response following. And a special extended edition of Enid Live will take your calls after both, and I'm sure you're going to have comments. I'm sure I'm going to have comments. And I think it'll be some very interesting theater that we're going to see tomorrow, and the pressure is on, and I will share that with you. We're talking right now. Hillary's hat is in the ring over the weekend. Bill Richardson's hat is in the ring. I have a brand new news poll, CBS poll on Hillary's numbers, her favorable, unfavorable ratings vis-a-vis Barack Obama, and we're talking about that. Lots of you like the combination of John Edwards and Barack Obama. Lots of you are not too happy about Hillary. 349-1320. The Republicans are ecstatic about Hillary because they think that she will be such a lightning rod she can't possibly win. Bob and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Niv.
Welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, quick correction. You commented that you don't think John Edwards voted for the war. He did vote for the war.
Okay.
But he also recanted it and said he was wrong for voting for the war.
All right. He would have been in. He would have been in. And remember, you're not voting for the war. You're voting to authorize the president to do whatever he's going to do.
But he did do that, okay? But
okay.
He recanted it. And also, I do agree.
How long ago did he recant?
Oh, probably a month and a half ago when he started his, maybe longer, last 3 or 4 months. Also, I do agree with Steve. Bill Richardson is definitely the best candidate, but like Adlai Stevenson, he's too qualified. Nobody's going to vote for him.
Why do you think he's the best candidate?
Because of his track record. He has been a successful congressman, governor. He was a very good ambassador in the United Nations. He was an excellent Secretary of Energy. And he also had a couple of other ambassador positions.
And they have sent him around on a number of special assignments, actually. So he's had a lot of good experience. And look at what running will do to your weight issue. He lost a lot of weight. He looks a lot better.
Well, yeah, but
you got to make yourself media generic.
If he got rid of the double chin, they might vote for him.
What? If he got rid of that double chin? Maybe he should consult Arnold's cosmetic surgeon. What do you think?
Unlike Steve, I'm a moderate Democrat, and I vote for Bill Richardson and I blink.
Okay. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Here's my question. Who have the Republicans got? McCain's numbers have been sinking. Who else is left? Brownback, I can't imagine he's going to go anywhere. Giuliani, how can he go anywhere with his tangled marital history? I mean, so who do the Republicans really have? And one survey called John McCain the most offensive person in the country. Really annoying and offensive. 349-1320. So here it is, how Obama versus Clinton shapes up. In the poll, this is now opinion of all registered voters. Clinton's got 36% favorables and 36% unfavorables. In other words, as many people like her as don't. So she is really a lightning rod. Obama has 29% favorables and only 9% unfavorables. But people are not as conversant with him. He's a newer face on the scene. Among the Democratic primary voters, Clinton has favorables that go at 57%. Her unfavorables low at 12%. Obama, 40% favorables among Democratic primary voters, and unfavorables only 3%. When asked to choose between Clinton or Barack, right now Clinton, but of course she's been in the public spotlight for quite a lot longer than Barack. Senator Hillary Clinton holds a large early lead over other top candidates in the race for the Democratic presidential nominee. In New York's Clinton was a favorite of 41% of Democrats polled, more than double the 17% second place showing of Senator Barack Obama. John Edwards places third at 11%. Let's see, and John Kerry comes in at 8%, and I don't think that we see anything here for Bill Richardson. I think it was he jumped into the ring probably before the polling was done. But John Edwards, only 11%. John Kerry at 8%. So Edwards, who was the vice presidential candidate to Kerry's presidential bid, actually does better than Kerry does. And the Republicans would be thrilled if John, and I don't think John Kerry doesn't have a chance. 349-1320. And I think Joe Biden has too many issues. I don't even know if I see him as a vice president. Pat in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Pat.
Hi, I apologize. My allergies have got me today. In any event, I was just thinking this is really like California races. Democrats always have won it until they actually get in it when it comes to the governorship, and once they get there, they find ways to lose it. I'm hoping the party doesn't do it to itself in the White House. What I'm thinking is that if it will attack and address effectively three areas, it should hold the White House for the next 8 years, you know, and it should do it walking away. One is Social Security. That's the easier of the three. The big one is health care, and the third is addressing the insidious ongoing effects of NAFTA and the assault it has been.
Oh, I don't think you're right. If I were looking at the tea leaves right now, I think you're too intellectual on it. I think it's too abstract. I think Iraq is what people are furious about. The dishonesty of the administration is what people are furious about. Now, here's the scenario I can see. And the scenario I see is that Hillary's got so much money and the ability to raise so much money. And right now, behind the scenes, what's going on is that Barack and Hillary are going to the same donors, and there's a whole competition going on behind the scenes. That will play itself out. But let's just assume for the moment that she has access to all that big money. If she does, she may very well be nominated. I don't know if she can win. I don't really know if she can win. If she can show that side of herself that's as amiable and as charming and as charismatic as Dickie is able to muster, or even begins to get into the territory that her husband is so good at, then I think she has a much better chance. But right now, I'd say she's not. It's not happening for her. But she could have the money, and then she wouldn't win.
I understand what you're saying to me. The core thought that I'm offering here is that perhaps she can get to the White House by saying, "I hate what we're doing in Iraq," and then not have a clearly thought through alternative plan. Right now, we don't have one to present.
Well, does the administration have one to present? It doesn't have one either. That makes two of us.
I'm sorry, I watched in a power line. Bad reception. So
okay,
I'll call you back.
All right, I thank you, Pat, for the call. 349-13. We were having a one-sided conversation, apparently. Oh well. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition. Why have a heart attack? Listen to Enid Goldstein instead. And if you're a Republican, I don't know, it's possible. It's the highest heart attack day of the week, Monday, and this is Blue Monday. And if you're a Republican, we might be pushing things along. We don't know. But instead of having a heart attack, express yourself. himself here, where we can all vibrate to the same comments. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. We're talking about Obama's favorables versus Hillary's. All of these Democrats throwing their hats into the ring. Some people think that it's all going to be sorted out in just a few months. We'll see what happens. Love to know who you think will be a good candidate pairing. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320, KCTC.
Thank you very much, Enid. Eastbound 50 just east of 65th. We have a vehicle blocking the on-ramp there onto the freeway. Same on eastbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard. Westbound I-80 at Antelope Road, a two-car crash. And Auburn Boulevard at Bell Street, there is a crash over there. Not sure how many vehicles, but it is slowing things down and emergency vehicles are on scene. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
The people had spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Metro PCS presents.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of L.A.
4:43 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. We love it when you do. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about Hillary versus Barack. All the behind-the-scenes maneuvering for campaign donations has begun. A lot of people feel like they are cheating on Hillary because they would normally have given to her, but now they're going to be giving to Barack. One commentator believes that, according to the polls, Republican seniors and conservatives are still more likely to oppose a woman as president than other groups. So let me give it to you again. Republicans, seniors, and conservatives are more likely to oppose a woman as president than other groups. Do you want to comment on that? And you have a lot of people whose hats are in the ring who are on the Democratic side. And what is the pairing that you see is going to work the best? And I had to laugh. I couldn't believe this. Do you ever read Hints from Heloise in the Bee? Did you see the one that was signed by Ann Coulter? I'm not kidding. Ann Coulter sent in a hint from Heloise. Maybe her hint would be, eat a meal once in a while. Don't be so anorexic. What do you say? Well, here it is. I'm going to give you Ann Coulter's hint. And it's signed Ann Coulter, Punta Gorda, Florida. And I think she lives in Florida, so I assume it's the very one. And usually they just sign someone's first name and a last initial, but they must have known that it was the Ann Coulter, the nasty, vicious, and venomous Ann Coulter. Dear Heloise, Ann Coulter, who apparently no details too trivial for her observation. Here's a gravy hint to pass on. Any brown gravy tastes so much better when you add a little leftover coffee from breakfast. How much? When making brown gravy, start with a little and then adjust to taste. So I guess she's been riding the gravy train so long, Ann Coulter, she can tell us exactly how to make it. What do you think about that? 349-1320. Only on Enid Live do you hear these things. Joe in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ina. This is the first time I just was stumbling through your through the dial and came up with your station and listened to all the different comments. I don't know what to believe, you know. It's like I listen to the Republican right wing. I listen to the Democrat.
Well, where do you stand on all of it? And let me spell my name for you, Joe. It's Enid. E-N-I-D. Enid.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm been a Republican. First I was a Democrat when I was a kid, and then I grew up here in Sacramento when I moved here, and then listened to Rush Limbaugh, and then after doing that, then, you know, I kind of turned out to him, but I'm still been a Democrat, I mean, a Republican, and but yet the party's left me, and just kind of like all the values and all the things that it stood for, and now,
You know, it's like there is no party. It's just whatever they make money at.
Oh, honey, the party's been over for a while. So are you in favor of what the president is doing in terms of Iraq? Do you think he has even a plan or
a
clue?
I'm in the middle of the road. It's like I almost want to support him because I want to think if we pull out now that we're gonna get buried. But at the same time, I think maybe we should just let them kill each other and just get out and just let them do
what is 20,000 going to do? Military experts say you really need at least 100,000 more. We don't have it. We
right.
have only been losing for these last years. We have only made it a lot worse.
Right.
So how can you support this?
I don't support it. And like I tell you, I'm in the middle of the road. I'm trying to find, you know, like Hillary, you know, this is something that you haven't brought up on your station that I've heard so far since listening to you. Is that she outed Osama with that he went to a four-year school that he was listening to hatred of America and all the
wait, who are you talking about? Osama bin Laden or
no,
Barack Obama?
Obama, and that he said,
yeah, Joe, you got to get it straight.
He goes to church once a year. I mean, come on.
So what? So you've got a president who goes to church all the time, and he's one of the most immoral people in the world. So what does that have to do? She outs him and get it straight. It's not Osama.
It was a plan on her part to try to, you know, it's just.
I didn't hear her do that. You've been listening to too much Fox News. Don't listen. And don't call yourself any label at all. Just use your common sense and think of who is doing the most commonsensically correct plan, and that's where you should vote. And don't say it's a Democratic plan or it's a Republican plan. Just do the most common sense thing, and you'll know what to do, Joe.
But when you get to vote for the worst of two evils,
All right, so if you're unhappy with having to vote for the lesser of two evils, or if it's in the agricultural field, the lesser of two weevils, then why don't you roll up your sleeves and go to work and start making a difference? Are you doing
that?
You know
what? I've thought about doing that. I've thought about really getting voicing my opinion and saying...
What do you do to besides calling talk radio? You write a check? Do you volunteer for anybody? That's what you got to do. I want you to think about doing that and do the most common sense thing. Joe, we thank you for the call, and we're delighted you found us. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What can we tell a guy like Joe? The Republican Party's been over for quite a while. Cardell in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi,
hello.
Cardell.
Yeah, I am so happy to follow that guy, Joe, because... This is exactly what I've been, you know, I've emailed you about this, I've called you before, that I have a problem with Barack Obama. You are not going to get people in Missouri to vote for someone whose name is that close to Osama. And, you know, it's like, I want to know, you know, why no one's talking about Nancy Pelosi running. She's the strongest person, she's the brightest person, and she's the person closest to the issue. Why does the Democratic Party keep handing us these people that really... are not going to win, you know.
Well, that's a really good question. And as she stands right now, she's two indictments away from the presidency. So,
well, let's
do you think? All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate because the first thing that happens is if she gives up her safe speaker seat to run. Let's see,
this is what I want: someone that's going to put themselves on the track like this. So she's too scared to give up a little penny ante Senate seat or a congressional seat to actually get behind her viewpoint. I mean, how are we actually going to vote for these people if they can't sacrifice? You were talking about people sacrificing the other day. This is a sacrifice. Get out, get elected. I have seen some things about Ms. Pelosi that leads me to believe that she is wonderful and great and actually is the person that can lead us out of this, not Barack Obama.
All right, then let me ask you, do you think that Nancy Pelosi, which they're going to smear her as being a San Francisco liberal, do you think that she can get any kind of traction in Mississippi or all the states that you said are not going to go for Barack Obama?
You know, I'd rather fight it with someone who's as well-versed and as, you know, we are basically being moderates again, which I don't think we have the capacity to do anymore.
Is she? But my question to you, Cardell, is she electable in those red states?
Who is?
Oh, well, you want to go with the most... Well, that is...
I get really irritated as a black male about Barack Obama because I believe that he potentially maybe could be a great politician down the road. You know, in the end, he's going to wind up being Jerry Brown all over again, someone who had great ideas, but, you know, they got clowned out of running for office. You know, and also on the cynical side, I believe it's the Democratic Party, because they haven't done anything for black Americans in the last 25 years, and they realize they need us to get elected. So this is a short road to
getting more votes. They know he's not going to make it out of the primary, you know, but hey, we ran this guy, you know, Condoleezza, she was at top, you know, now we got our guy. You know, facts and actual results is what I want. You know?
Cardell, I am delighted that you called, and I enjoy your emails, too, a lot. They're pretty thoughtful. I thank you very much.
Well, I love you. I like your show, too, Ian, and I believe we're fighting for the same thing. But I think the guy like who just called, idiot, that's who we have to convince. You know, it's not up to me and you. You know, we got to talk to the guy who can't, you know, have been watching nothing but TV on a loop and can't figure out the difference between Osama and Obama.
You know what I mean? it's our work is cut out for us, Cardell. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening. We have one line open. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320, KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Lows 33. We're going to see highs tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful day. 61, maybe some clouds, but that's still, you know, near summertime. I'm so excited. Tonight, we're going to see lows, though, 33, and on tomorrow, about 27. It's going to be a little chillier, but still highs near 60, almost through the week. Westbound 50, just east of Smith, we have a two-car crash over there, slowing things down and blocking freeway service. A vehicle's in the middle of the roadway at eastbound 50, just east of Sunrise Boulevard. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
While drop.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the king.
Number 23, Kevin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the king, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
.456 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. The lines are full, and I'll give the numbers when they open up. Let's go. We're talking about presidential candidates. Barbara in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Barbara. Barbara?
Hello?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome. You're live.
Hey, my cell phone sounds a little scratchy. I just want to remind everybody, I get so nervous when I hear discussion about candidates like Hillary, who initially could be great, but I don't want history to repeat itself with 2000 and the Republican Party, you know, spent a lot of money contributing to Nader, and they'll do whatever they can to act like they think Hillary's a great candidate, but I don't think she's electable, and it concerns me that, you know, if she gets the nomination, that right. will be playing into their hands.
All right, so you don't think she's electable at all, and okay, I thank you very much, Barbara. 349-1320, one line open. Sharon in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Enid. As far as the elections are concerned, I'd like to see...
Dip, dip, happy to see Pontiac. So you can ever up.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. He's the top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, a former Secretary of the Navy, and Virginia Senator John Warner has broken with President Bush on Iraq. He's offering a resolution that says a troop surge is not the way to deal with sectarian violence.
I personally, speaking for myself, have great concern about the American GI being thrust into that situation, the origins of which sometimes go back over 1,000 years.
Two Republicans have joined Warner, Norm Coleman of Minnesota and Susan Collins of Maine.
Inserting more American troops into Baghdad, into the midst of a sectarian struggle, would be a major mistake.
Also signing on, Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson. In the latest CBS News poll, a lot of people say Congress should do more than pass a resolution.
Many Americans seem willing to have Congress block Iraq war funding, particularly for the surge. 50% told us that Congress should block funding for sending additional troops to Iraq, and 6% said that Congress should block all Iraq war funding.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Fragovic says the president's approval rating on the eve of his State of the Union speech is at its lowest point ever, 28%. Some of the extra troops have already arrived in Iraq, and U.S. and Iraqi forces have launched an operation in northern Baghdad targeting Sunni insurgents. They're blamed for a pair of deadly bombings in a busy market today.
Hundreds of pounds of explosives detonated in the crowded shopping area, the bombs coming just seconds apart. The blast left body parts strewn across the road, and one nearby hospital struggled to save the injured, more than 150. This week is starting off on a deadly note after last week's violence, in which more than 140 Iraqis were killed. But this was the single deadliest attack in 2 months.
CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick in Baghdad. Al-Qaeda in Iraq claims responsibility for the downing of a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter on Saturday. The Pentagon believes it was hit by a shoulder-fired missile. 12 soldiers were killed. Paul Pressler kept promising to turn things around at The Gap, which also owns Old Navy and Banana Republic. But sales went from bad to worse, and now he's out.
It's no surprise that Paul Pressler's resigning, and it's the best thing that could possibly happen to Gap and Gap shareholders.
Retail analyst Paul Flickinger, The Gap is believed to be ripe for a takeover. Pfizer, the pharmaceutical giant, won't be quite so big this time next year. A restructuring will eliminate 10,000 jobs. Pfizer faces increasing competition from generic drugs. It expects to lose $14 billion in revenue this year as various patents expire. Today, a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials lost 88 points to close at 12,477. The Nasdaq down 20 points to 2431. And the price of oil fell to $51.13 a barrel. This is CBS News.
It was the new show that became a cultural phenomenon.
Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
And tonight on NBC, Heroes is back. Now they've learned they're not alone.
You know someone else like me?
And the search for more heroes all comes down to one question.
Are you on the list?
The next chapter of Heroes begins tonight after Deal or No Deal and followed by Studio 60. All new on NBC.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
After a relentless string of hurricanes in 2005, Florida homeowners by the thousands had their insurance policies canceled or saw their premiums skyrocket. Today, as CBS News correspondent Peter King reports, the state legislature stepped in.
Florida's House and Senate have overwhelmingly passed a bill that lawmakers say means insurance rate cuts for Florida homeowners, an average of just over 20%, depending on location and insurance company. But there is a trade-off. All Floridians will now take on more risk, and that could mean assessments on car and home policies after a bad year. It could also mean taxpayers will have to pay for whatever losses aren't covered by insurance.
Governor Charlie Crist has said he'd sign the bill if the rate cuts were meaningful. A bill in the Nebraska legislature would make it okay for doctors to say they're sorry. The measure says an apology or other expression of fault, sympathy, or condolence could not be considered an admission of liability and used against doctors in medical malpractice suits. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Channel.
5 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And what I want to remind you about is that tomorrow we have a special edition of Enid Live. We will be taking the, normally it's 3 to 7, tomorrow 3 to infinity. We'll be taking the, well, not that bad, the President's State of the Union address live at 6. We'll be also taking the Democratic response given by Senator Jim Webb. Remember, he ran against Senator Makaka. He is the author of about 6 best-selling military thrillers, so it ought to be a pretty good response. And then we will be looking for your responses as well. So we'll have a conversation about what we have just heard. And, you know, don't walk away from the State of the Union address. I think, if nothing else, it's going to be really great theater. Let me give you the numbers. This is the way in which you can participate, both right now and tomorrow. Both during the show, we will do the show as usual from 3 to 7 and then onward, a special extended edition of Enid Live to encompass all the speeches and your comment afterward. We will then join Air America Radio in progress. So you can email me, enid@kctc.com, or we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Or you can call, if you're in the, and it's free, it's always toll-free, if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, and if you're not, 866-626-1320. If you are just joining us, we've been a lot of places already. We've been to the fact that the Department of Justice is cracking down on large international banking institutions because they have helped with initial public offerings of gambling, online gambling enterprises not headquartered in the U.S., offshore, but accessible to U.S. residents online. And the DOJ is going after these huge, formidable international banking operations, which is really interesting. So I'd love your comment about that. We're talking about these incredible bonuses being paid by special interest money to 4 of the governor's top aides. Susan Kennedy led the pack with $100,000. She got more money from special interests paying her bonuses than she made from the state. There are a lot of states where that's not considered legal because you're serving two masters and there is a built-in and inherent conflict of interest. We've been talking about the polling because over the weekend, Hillary says she's in, and she says she's in to win. And the polling with Hillary vis-a-vis Barack Obama and various other candidates, and one combination which I hadn't thought about, I always kid around that Nancy Pelosi is 2 indictments away from the presidency, but one of you thought Nancy Pelosi and John Edwards would be great. Well, they would be a very wonderful combination. I don't know how it would play in certain places, but I like it. It's a lot of magic to that combination. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I want to add to the conversation. I want to talk about what's going on, the State of the Union, some of the background that's going to happen tomorrow night. 3 more senators, and these are Republicans, are saying that they oppose more troops in Iraq, and that would be Senator John Warner, who, of course, carries a lot of weight with the Republican Party. He said that the measure is not meant to be confrontational, but rather was it an acceptance of the president's invitation to come forward with alternative plans. I'm sure the president is just thrilled to hear an alternative plan from Senator Warner. Susan Collins of Maine, a moderate Republican, said that her recent trip to Iraq had convinced her that it would be a major mistake to deploy more American troops in Baghdad. She said she favors reallocating the U.S. forces and putting more troops in Anbar province. And finally, a creep that Al Franken, our own Al Franken, might be running against, and that would be Senator Norm Coleman, Republican of Minnesota. He's not on the Armed Services panel, but he again has stepped forward to oppose more troops in Iraq. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. ABC News is reporting big stories, detail emerging about a possible terror threat mimicking the hijackers who executed the 9/11 attacks. Now, this is ABC reporting. Insurgents reportedly tied to al-Qaeda in Iraq are considering using student visas to slip terrorists into the U.S. to orchestrate a new attack on American soil. Now, people are saying, wait a minute, just a minute. Breaking news out of ABC News. Documents seized in Iraq reveal insurgent plan for attack in U.S. ABC News' Pierre Thomas has learned, I'm just shocked at the timing of this leak. We're just shocked at the timing of of a leak of a plan to infiltrate that could be real, it could be bogus, we don't know, it's the night before the State of the Union address. You want to comment on that, about the administration, they will stop at nothing, and isn't it interesting that this was leaked the night before the State of the Union address? Your thoughts about that? 349-1320-866-626-1320. And then you have a brazen attack that is raising fears. This is this happened over the weekend. These were insurgents dressed with people dressed in U.S. garb, so they were waved through all these checkpoints. The armored SUVs whisked into the government compound in the city of Karbala with speed and urgency, the way most Americans and foreign dignitaries travel along Iraq's treacherous roads these days. Iraqi guards at checkpoints waved them through Saturday afternoon because the men wore what appeared to be legitimate U.S. military uniforms and badges, and drove GMC SUVs commonly used by foreigners, the provincial governor said. Once inside, however, the men unleashed one of the deadliest and most brazen ambushes of U.S. forces in a secure official area. Five U.S. service members were killed in a hail of grenades and gunfire in a breach of security that Iraqi officials called unprecedented. You may want to comment on that. Attackers wearing U.S. uniforms, driving the kind of vehicles that you expect the U.S. Military and visiting dignitaries and so forth to be driving, and it was just a sham. It was just a they were insurgents, and they blew everybody up. 349-1320. We have one line open. 866-626-1320. Emily in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Enid. It's just Emily with another dumb comment or question. My question is, being that
Emily, don't say that. Don't say that about yourself. We love your comments, so please don't put yourself down. Let me put you down. Don't you do it to yourself.
Okay.
All right.
My question is that being the night before the State of the Union address, I wonder how soon the rainbow alerts are going to start.
How soon the what?
The rainbow alert, you know, the red alert.
Are we still doing... Are we still...
Maybe a brown alert this time?
Well, brown would be the right color for this alert. You got that right, Emily. Yeah. I thank you very much for that. 349-1320-866-626-1320. John in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John. John? Are you there? Going once, going twice? I guess he's not there. Okay. Let's head over to Laura. Laura, calling from SAC. Hi, Laura. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. That last caller was correct. They always monger the fear before Bush comes out and makes any pronunciation. It's always tied back to 9/11 because that's the only time he gets any bump in the ratings.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, they did so poorly with the surge speech. And guess who Dickey is blaming for that? Guess who he's blaming for getting not only no bounce in the numbers, but actually his numbers went down?
Oh, it's got to be the mainstream media or the gloom and doomers or the hate America firsters or...
No, but you're getting closer. He is blaming his speechwriters.
Oh, great.
So now the heat is on these poor scribes, you know, sweating. They've been working at this thing. He has been rehearsing this speech for weeks.
Well, blame everyone but himself. That's a pattern. Hey, I actually called on another topic that you haven't discussed and I think is really juicy.
What?
Why is Bush pulling all of the prosecutors that have been investigating mismanagement,
Laura, we've only been talking about it all last week. Where have you been? Laura, miss a little, miss a lot. Before you waggle your finger in the goddess's face, we've been on it. Yeah, it's a good story. And the story is, of course, that as the investigations get closer and closer to the White House, they're going to replace those prosecutors with more and more hacks. I think that's probably the short answer. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. I'm telling you, you guys, miss a little, miss a lot. We are talking about a million different things on every single broadcast, and it's possible that when you tune in, we've come and gone on that particular topic. But lucky you, my shows are archived. WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. And you can find out what you missed. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi there. There was a news about CNN confirmed that was a one of the campaign person under Hillary was leaking a news. to the media about Obama attended some Islamic religious school in Indonesia when he was a kid. And CNN confirmed that is not true. They went to investigate it, saying that he actually attended a public school over there, but it's not a religious school. So I don't know. I have a feeling is that, you know, Hillary camp better not trying to stir things up against Obama, because I think in public image, Obama has some really good potential, and if they're trying to do anything that a negative campaign against him, I think they're just going to shot themselves in the foot.
So, you're the second person to reference that, and I wasn't aware of it. We'll try to see if we can find some information about it, that she has leaked that. But if it's and so CNN is saying it's incorrect. He wasn't at a madrasa. Is she suggesting that it was a madrasa, or are they just saying that he went to school in which country are they saying?
Indonesia. He just went to a public school over there, but it's not a religious public school. It's not an Islamic religious public school.
Did the Hillary people say, well, he was in school and made it sound like it was religious when it really wasn't? Is that the story?
Yeah, that was the story. I think that, you know, the best ticket for the Democrat would be Obama as a vice president.
Edwards and Obama. Okay. I like that combination, too. I think that would be very good.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. A staggering 68% of Americans are opposed to the surge, and this is according to the latest Newsweek poll. 68% of Americans are opposed to the surge. And in another poll, this is the Washington Post poll, I think. I think it's a Washington Post ABC News poll. President Bush will deliver his State of the Union address at the weakest point in his presidency. Apparently his numbers are in Richard Nixon territory, facing deep public dissatisfaction over his Iraq war policies and eroding confidence in his leadership. And this is according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. 48% of Americans are calling the war the single most important issue that they want Bush and the Congress to deal with this year, the single most important issue. The post-ABC poll shows that 65% Americans oppose sending more troops to Iraq, while the Newsweek poll says 68% are opposing it. It was 61% immediately after the president unveiled the plan January the 10th, and it's now grown 4% in this particular poll. But what's intriguing about this poll is this. Just 42% of Americans in this Washington Post-ABC poll say that the president can be trusted in a crisis. In other words, 56% are saying that Dickey cannot be trusted in a crisis. He cannot be trusted. The first time a majority has given him a negative rating on a crucial element of presidential leadership. Only 45% call him a strong leader, which is also the lowest mark of his presidency. His previous low, 47%, came 2 months after Katrina ravaged New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. So only 42% believe that he can be trusted in a crisis, with 56% saying that he cannot be trusted. People don't trust him. Do you trust him? Do you think he's a good president? Is he a wonderful... And here are details emerging about a possible terror threat. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? The night before the State of the Union address? Aren't you surprised? Are you shocked? Just shocked, like you were in Casablanca? Shocked. Just shocked. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Well, things are speeding up a little bit at 519. Should I say speeding up or slowing down, or getting very interesting on Southbound 99. We have a couple of car crashes along the way, all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. Westbound I-80 Nevada, there are two car crashes stopping things down over there. And eastbound 50 just east of Prairie City Road. And on the other side, there's a two-car crash and a vehicle stalled to blocking freeway service there at Prairie City Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I never met.
524 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I just want to share this with you because Dickey's approval ratings are lower than they were with Katrina. And let me just, remember Heck of a Job Brownie? Well, listen to what he had to say. Party politics played a role in decisions over whether to take federal control, this is what he's saying now, of Louisiana and other areas affected by Hurricane Katrina. This is according to Michael Brown, former FEMA director. Some in the White House, he said, suggested only Louisiana should be federalized because it was run by a Democrat. Governor Kathleen Blanco, Brown told a group of graduate students at a lecture on politics and emergency management at Metropolitan College in New York. Brown said that he had recommended to President Bush that all 90,000 square miles along the Gulf Coast affected by the hurricane be federalized, making the federal government in charge of all agencies responding to the disaster. Unbeknownst to me, he said, certain people in the White House were thinking we had to federalize Louisiana because she's a white female Democratic senator and we have a chance to rub her nose in it. He said, isn't that interesting? So everything is a political equation. They don't care about anything. They care about lining their pockets. They care about consolidating their power. You just tell me what good decision has come out of this administration in the last 6 years. Just tell me. Is there even one that you can point to? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to John in Rockland. Hi, John. You're live with Enid. John? You know, you keep calling me from Rockland, and then when we say, where are you, you have evaporated. I don't know. Maybe you're on a bad cell phone, so try us again. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Andy in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi, Enid. With regard to your comment about it's uncanny, you know, about this terror alert, this new terror alert that's coming up just on the eve of the President's State of the Union address. You know, I think that every time this administration wants to do better, I mean, they just come up with something like this, you know, and my point is that I think this is just, you know, smoke and mirrors. I mean, I don't think it's, I think it's just to create doom and gloom and also to bump up this administration's ratings, President Bush in particular. And I was just wondering, I mean, like, maybe somebody should really investigate into this, and if there is some, you know, it's false or something, you know, they should really see whether they could impeach him, you know?
Well, that's what a lot of people are thinking about, including Cindy Sheehan. She would like to see him impeached. And more, I think you have to get rid of these people. They're madmen, and they're delusional. And just a couple of people have the whole country in their grip, and they are absolutely doing the wrong thing. There is absolutely no support for what he's doing. And if you look back on his decisions, what good decisions has this man made? You know, I'll just share some information with you. Andy, you make a good point. Thank you for making it. Let me just, when was the last time you watched a tape of
Clinton's, now this is Josh Michael, Josh Marshall report. Clinton's State of the Union from 1999. Listen to this. It showed sections, which people have seen it lately. And it's really a mind-blowing contrast to this year. This was right in the middle of impeachment, and Clinton delivered a speech that was powerful and angry. He went through a list of accomplishments, but these were actual accomplishments. Economic growth, jobs growth, surplus, peace, on and on. People forget, so he delivered this incredible speech to an audience, Republicans in Congress who clearly did not want to be there and did not want to hear it, but also the larger American public who were, of course, far more receptive to his message. He was clearly angry that given all of these amazing accomplishments, he was facing impeachment over a petty sex scandal. So here's the question. You can think of one thing between last year's State of the Union address and this year's State of the Union address that Bush can claim as an accomplishment. Did even one thing go right for Bush this year? I mean, you know, maybe a modest job growth, maybe modest economic growth, maybe some stock market growth. But is there anything that he actually had anything to do with? On, you know, you've got Iraq, on the other hand, North Korea, China, Hamas, etc. So what's he going to go, what's he going to talk about? And what has he actually accomplished in 6 years? I mean, if I made that a question, what would be the answer? 349-1320, what has he done in the past year? And what has he done in the past 6 years except get us into the soup? Racked up historic deficits. We're in a tragic situation in Iraq right now, and we don't know what to do about it. And you know what? He doesn't have an idea either. So since he doesn't have an idea, he's tapping his fingernails. The equivalent of tapping his fingernails, running out the clock, is to send 20,500 more people in, some of them to their deaths. And I wonder if he can sleep at night. 349-1320, Clarence in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Clarence.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm wondering, with George Bush's mainstream media, maybe they leaked it and they're blaming it to try to get your eyes off of him, getting one camp of Democrats going after the other.
Are you leaking what? Which story are you talking about leaking? Talking
about Hillary Clinton's aid leaking about Obama?
I don't know. We're going to look into that story. The story that's supposed to be coming from Hillary Clinton about where Obama went to school. I haven't actually seen it, but a couple of you have referenced it, and CNN apparently says there's nothing to it. But we'll get on it. We'll see what we can find out for you. I thank you for the call. Unless it's dirty tricks, I don't think it's from the Bush White House. John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hello there.
Hi.
Quick comment on the online. I play using the online.
We're talking about online gambling.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is that still legal for Americans to gamble online, even if the companies they're gambling with are offshore, not based on U.S. soil? Or I thought they were doing a crackdown even on American online gamblers.
It all depends. One of the online servers that I was using did close and transferred me over to a different sport book. I like the parlays and things along future bets and betting on horses where I can't go to Reno or whatever, just in a friendly basis. In that sense, I'm not, you know, the mortgage is not out there on it or anything like that. But it gets to me in the idea that they make it so that if I wanted to do a credit card, regardless of who's in my wallet or whatever the commercial is I got, they want to say that I'm creating a problem to where the credit card company can't get their money back or whatever, and that type of thing. So, you know, you put up cash or you go on another
route. They won't let you use a credit card for this?
Well, no. Well, some of them they will, but you have to go through maybe even some kind of secured cards. And there's some people out there probably know it a little bit more than I do. They go through different type of credit card companies that maybe charge you a higher percentage to use the card.
How much gambling do you think you do in a week or a month?
Online, probably. You know, like now it's playoffs and that, so I'll probably play me about four or five different parlays on the over and the under of the Colts game yesterday or that.
And you typically win or you typically lose? You win. All gamblers win.
I'm a very good winner at what I do, and that's the part that bothers me even more so, because it seems that if you play just responsibly and that, it's fine, but they don't have any problem with counts that people put money in Switzerland, or these counts where people are sending money illegally through drugs and that. And here I am, you know, at this juncture in my life, I'm pretty responsible enough. I only play with them.
So are they cracking down on guys like you, John?
Oh yeah, yeah, and now what you're finding out is your old bookie guy that used to be back in the day. You know, he's trying to revitalize himself because
they're banning online gambling, so you got to go to the neighborhood bookie. That's you got to keep it in the neighborhood. All right, thank you very much for the report. I thank you. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Steve in Shingle Springs, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hey Enid. I have three things to say. The first is that, if nothing else, this whole fiasco with the Middle East and such has taught us that we need to have more power, that if we disagree, we can do something about it, because we might get the next person in, be it Democrat or Republican, and the same thing might happen. We need to have, I'm not saying rewrite the Constitution, but at least have some kind of power to be proactive and say, no, we're not going to stand for it because we don't agree with it.
Hell no, we won't go. That's it.
Hey,
that's
it. The second thing, second of third is, if you watch 24 of the series, it's the most popular right now, but there's a lot of propaganda to help fuel the hate for the East. And the third thing I wanted to say is, let's not forget to thank the servicemen that, you know, they're not by their choice that they're there, but they're there to help us and protect us.
Absolutely. We support them. It's this ridiculous war being put in harm's way that we don't support. I thank you for the call, Steve. 349-1320. I want to share with you Dickie's gold-plated indifference, and you're going to hear about that tomorrow. But you'll get a heads up and a preview here. But before I do, one of the stories that we just talked about is something really shocking happened over the weekend in Iraq, where you had this group of attackers, insurgents. They got a hold of American uniforms, American badges, the kind of vehicles that Americans drive. They got waved through all these checkpoints, and guess what? They weren't Americans, and they blew up a bunch of people. It was bloody, and it was hideous. Now, set that aside. Now, you also have, and I have seen, this is sort of underreported as far as I can tell, but at the border, there are signs of a Pakistani role in the Taliban surge. And this we're talking about Pakistan, where it abuts Afghanistan. And the Pakistani secret services, the intelligence services, it looks like they are aiding and abetting the Taliban. And writing this piece in the New York Times, and I think it appeared in yesterday's edition, that 50-pound thing that thuds on my doorstep at 3:30 in the morning, Sunday mornings, the story, the byline on the story is a woman. Her name is Carlotta Gall, G-A-L-L. And interviews on the frontier tie intelligence agencies to Afghan unrest. And she does this incredible reporting. And then, listen to this, there is a sidebar story. Headline, rough treatment for two journalists in Pakistan. Also bylined by the same woman, Carlotta Gall. She said, my photographer, Akhtar Sumro, and I were followed over several days of reporting in Quetta, and that is Pakistan, by plainclothes intelligence officials who were posted at our respective hotels. This is not unusual in Pakistan, where accredited journalists are free to travel and report, but their movements, phone calls, and interviews are often monitored. On our fifth and last day in Quetta, and I hope I'm pronouncing that, Quetta or Quetta, December the 19th, four plainclothesmen detained Mr. Sumro, the photographer, at his hotel downtown, seized his computer and photo equipment. They raided my hotel room that evening using a key card to open the door and then breaking through the chain that I had locked from the inside. They seized a computer, notebooks, and a cell phone. But wait, more happens. One agent punched me twice in the face and head and knocked me to the floor. I was left with bruises on my arms, temple, and cheekbone, swelling on my eye, and a sprained knee. One of the men told me, so this man punched out this woman. One of the men told me that I was not permitted to visit Pashtunabad, a neighborhood in Quetta, and that it was forbidden to interview members of the Taliban. The men did not reveal their identity, but said we could apply to the special branch of the Interior Ministry for our belongings the next day. After the intervention of the Minister of State for Information and Broadcasting, my belongings were returned several hours later. My photographer was released after more than 5 hours in detention. Since then, it has become clear that intelligence agents copied data from our computers, notebooks, and cell phones and tracked down contacts and acquaintances in Quetta,
All the people I interviewed were subsequently visited by intelligence agents and local journalists who helped me were later questioned by Pakistan's intelligence service, the Inter-Services Intelligence. My photographer has been warned not to work for the New York Times or any other foreign news organization. Is that amazing? Does the hair on the back of your neck stand up? It should. So here is a woman, rough treatment. They came in, they punched her out. They came into her hotel room with a card key. They punched her out, knocked me down, punched me twice in the face and head. She winds up with a number of injuries, surprised that they're not worse than they are, took all of her cell phone computer data. They transcribed everything. They knew where the sources were for the story, and they went back and got in those sources' faces, people who probably wanted to remain confidential sources. But the story is, and you should access it, it's a hair-raising story. So supposedly our friends, the Pakistanis, in fact, have been playing a major role in the Taliban surge, because that's really where their sympathies lie. 349-1320. So we have that going on. We have got attackers who are dressing themselves up in U.S. uniforms going on, and there is no defense for an improvised explosive device on the roadside. There is no defense for a suicide bomber. You are sending 20,000, almost 21,000 people to, some of them certainly to a death, to a certain death. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So that joke of a president will be sharing any ideas that he might have, in case he has any. And my question to you, what has he accomplished in the past year that he can point to as an accomplishment? Those of you who are Republicans, conservatives, still supporters of his in case any are left, because most Americans do not trust him, and most Americans by a far margin are opposed to any surge, any escalation of this war. What has he accomplished in the last year, and what has he accomplished in a positive way in the last six? What he's accomplished is a dissension, a hideous war, lots of lives lost, historic and mind-boggling deficits. But anything positive that this man has accomplished, can you think of anything? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. As we continue, I want to share Paul Krugman's column today, because I think it's really incredible. And it sort of foreshadows what we can expect in the speech tomorrow. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, a little slow, as I mentioned earlier, eastbound 50 just east of Prairie City Road. That is an accident over there, and a vehicle is slowing things down, being on the on-ramp. It's blocking freeway service. Also, southbound 99 right past Fruit Ridge Road, it looks like we have a two-car crash. Otherwise, things are going really good on I-5 southbound. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
I'm News 10's Quam.
Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays, except for tomorrow, 3 to infinity. Well, not that bad. We're doing, you'll have enough of me, I know. We're doing a special edition of Enid Live tomorrow night because we're going to bring you the State of the Union Address, the Democratic response to it with Senator James Webb, who has written all those political thrillers, best-selling thrillers, military thrillers, so it should be really good. And he and Dickey had a very testy exchange, you will recall, at some sort of an event. And remember now, Webb's son is serving in Iraq right now, and remember Dickey asked him about it, and he was snotty, and it was kind of a snotty thing. All right, our crack research staff here, we have found out, those of you, because we have great callers, and you have alerted us to this story that CNN has now debunked, a false report about Obama. Allegations that Senator Barack Obama was educated in a radical Muslim school known as a madrasa are not accurate, according to CNN. Insight magazine, which is owned by the same company as the Washington Times, and by the way, that's a Mooney-owned right-wing hit newspaper, reported on its website last week that associates of Hillary Rodham Clinton suggested or let them know that had unearthed information that Barack Obama Illinois Democrat, likely presidential candidate, attended a Muslim religious school known for teaching the most fundamentalist form of Islam. He did live in Indonesia as a child from 67 to 71 with his mother and stepfather. He has acknowledged attending a Muslim school, but it is not a madrasa. There are a lot of Christians at the school, Buddhists, Confucian. It's a mixed school. And CNN went ahead and looked into the school. So CNN is debunking false reports that Obama had attended a madrasa. And, of course, the right wing is going to town big time on that. Fox News, the rest of them, people on Fox News, they look like people, but, you know, you got to wonder if they really are. I want to share with you Paul Krugman's column today. And I'm asking the question, what has the president accomplished since the last State of the Union except to make things much worse? If you're a supporter, if you're a conservative Republican, what do you think he's done? You know, the stock market's been a little bit okay. There have been some modest. But in general, can you point to any major accomplishment? Can you point to any major positive accomplishment in the 6 years so far that he has served? 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Let me share what Paul Krugman has to say, because this is going to come up. By all accounts, it's being reported that the president is going to reference in the State of the Union address tomorrow health care. Oh, well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Well, wait till you hear what he's got in mind. And Krugman, as usual, has nailed it. So here it is. President Bush's Saturday radio address was devoted to health care, and officials have put out the word that the subject will be a major theme in tomorrow's State of the Union address. Mr. Bush's proposal won't go anywhere, but it's still worth looking at his remarks because of what they say about him and his advisors. On the radio, Bush suggested that we should, quote, treat health insurance more like homeownership. He went on to say that, quote, the current tax code encourages homeownership by allowing you to deduct the interest on your mortgage from your taxes. We can reform the tax code so that it provides a similar incentive for you to buy health insurance, Dickey says. Wow, says Krugman. Remember now, Krugman teaches at Princeton. He's an economist. Wow, those are the words of someone with no sense of what it's like to be uninsured, that you get a tax credit. Now think about this. There are many of you listening who are struggling with having health insurance or have none at all. I know you've called in. And I think we've all been there once or twice in our lives where you had to choose between health insurance and the groceries or the rent or the medicine. A lot of people don't have insurance, or they're underinsured, or it's very, very dicey for them. So is a tax credit going to do it for you? I don't think so. If you've got no money, how are you going to pay for it? And a tax credit is completely irrelevant. But this is how far removed from reality. So you tell me, if you don't have health insurance, is a tax credit going to do it for you? Please. So going without health insurance, Krugman continues, isn't like deciding to rent an apartment instead of buying a house. It's a terrifying experience, which most people endure only if they have no alternative. The uninsured don't need the incentive to buy insurance. They need something that makes getting insurance possible. Most people without health insurance have low incomes and just cannot afford the premiums. And making premiums tax deductible is almost worthless to workers whose income puts them in a low tax bracket. Of the uninsured who are not low income, many cannot get coverage because of pre-existing conditions, everything from diabetes to a long-ago case of jock itch. Again, tax deductions won't solve the problem. The only people the Bush plan might move out of the ranks of the uninsured are the people we're least concerned about, affluent, healthy Americans who choose voluntarily not to be insured. At most, the Bush plan might induce some of these people to buy insurance while in the process, what do you know, giving many other high-income individuals yet another tax break. While proposing this high-end tax break, Mr. Bush is also proposing a tax increase, not on the wealthy, but on the workers who, he thinks, have too much health insurance. I'm asking you, Bunky, Pookie, you got too much health insurance? Do any of us listening here have too much health insurance? The tax code, he said, unwisely encourages workers to choose overly expensive, quote, gold-plated plans. Like anybody has a gold-plated plan. I wish. The result is that insurance premiums rise and many Americans cannot afford the coverage they need. Again, Krugman writes, wow. No economic analysis I'm aware of says that when Peter chooses a good health plan, he raises Paul's premiums. And look at the condescension. Will all those who think they have a gold-plated health insurance coverage please raise their hands? According to press reports, the actual plan is to penalize workers with relatively generous insurance coverage. So those of you, those 10 of you who are still around who have overly generous health insurance coverage, they want to penalize you. Just to be clear, we're not talking about the wealthy. We're talking about ordinary workers who have managed to negotiate better than average health plans. What's driving all this is a theory popular in conservative circles, but utterly at odds with the evidence, naturally, that the big problem with U.S. health care is that people have too much insurance, that there would be a large cost savings if people were forced to pay more of their medical expenses out of pocket. The administration believes we have too much health insurance. The administration also believes, for some reason, that people should be pushed out of employment-based health insurance, admittedly a deeply flawed system, into the individual insurance market, which is a disaster on all fronts. Insurance companies try to avoid selling policies to people who are likely to use them. So, a large fraction of premiums in the individual markets goes not to paying medical bills, but to bureaucracies dedicated to weeding out high-risk applicants and keeping them uninsured. I'm somewhat skeptical, Krugman writes, about health care plans like that proposed by Arnold Schwarzenegger that propose covering gaps in the health insurance market with a series of patches, such as requiring that health insurance insurers offer policies to everyone at the same rate. But at least the authors of those plans are trying to help those most in need and recognize that the market needs fixing. Mr. Bush, on the other hand, is still peddling the fantasy that the free market with a little help from tax cuts solves all the problems. What's really striking about Mr. Bush's remarks, however, is the tone. The stuff about providing, quote, incentives to buy insurance. The sneering description of good coverage as, quote, gold-plated. It is, Krugman writes, right-wing think tank jargon. In the past, Mr. Bush's speechwriters might have found less offensive language. Now they're not even trying to hide his fundamental indifference to the plight of less fortunate Americans. Wow, what do you think about that? 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Steve in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hi, this is Dave, by the way.
Oh, Dave, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. The reason why he's talking about health care is because he's failed on everything else. That's the reason why he's talking about it. He's failed in the Iraqi war. He failed in 9/11. What else?
Well, you know what? You make a great point. So the reason he's even going to bring up health care is because it's one area where he hasn't failed. It's virgin territory for failure. So it's another place where he can fail yet again.
Exactly. But he's failed in privatizing Social Security. He's failed on that, too. I mean, the fact is, like I'm saying, is that I'm telling you right now, I make my point is that if this guy doesn't get impeached, then everybody else that works for the White House should all be fired. All of them. You know, because like I'm saying, this guy, you know, he works for me. I'm the one that...
Oh, no, he doesn't think he's working for you. He's working for his friends and his cronies and to line their pockets. Steve, I thank you for the call. Good point. 349-1320, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some traffic going on, but seriously, southbound 99 and all our usual slower spots and accident spots really aren't there. I-5 southbound, J Street, straight and narrow. It's absolutely gorgeous. I-80 going towards Roseville. We do have a two-car crash on the right-hand side, but everybody's doing 55-60. Lows tonight, 33. We're going to see highs tomorrow around 61. Hallelujah. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
For a limited time.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with, like, a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Opposition to the troop buildup in Iraq expanded today on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
In a blow to President Bush's efforts to find Republican support for his Iraq plan, a leading GOP senator on military matters, Virginia's John Warner, has penned his own resolution opposing the troop surge. He was joined by Republican Senators Norm Coleman and Susan Collins.
Inserting more American troops into Baghdad, into the midst of a sectarian struggle, would be a major mistake.
House Republican leader John Boehner, who backs the president, acknowledged many of his members are worried too and suggested the president send Congress progress reports on Iraq once a month. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, taunts President Bush in a new video message. He says Mr. Bush could send the entire army and it would be annihilated by Iraqi insurgents. This is the al-Qaeda leadership's first reaction to the president's new strategy. On Saturday, a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter crashed in Iraq, killing 12 soldiers. Military officials now believe it was shot down by a shoulder-fired missile, and today, al-Qaeda in Iraq claimed responsibility. Paul Pressler is out after less than 3 years as CEO of The Gap. He wasn't able to reverse a sales decline. Pressler walks away with a $14 million severance package for his trouble. Home Depot's ousted chief executive got 15 times that amount. And so far, CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports stockholders have been unable to block it.
It has outraged many Home Depot shareholders, a $210 million severance package for former CEO Bob Nardelli. It appears, though, there's little that can be done about it. A judge in Atlanta, where Home Depot is based, has turned down a request by some stockholders to at least temporarily block the payout.
Nardelli's lawyer says his client won't spend any of the money until the case is resolved. The Army Corps of Engineers is lowering the level of Lake Cumberland in Frankfort, Kentucky. The dam has weakened, and officials say a break could cause catastrophic flooding downstream in Kentucky and Tennessee. Jeremy Height is with Tennessee's Emergency Management Agency.
From emergency management perspective, we have all of our counties that are in the affected areas prepared with what we would do in the event of a failure of the dam, but we're not anticipating a failure of the dam anytime soon.
Gasoline prices are starting to catch up with the declining price of oil. Last week, the Energy Department says the average price per gallon fell 6 cents. In some places, gasoline is less than $2 a gallon now. Analyst Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading says, fill up fast.
Anytime you can buy gasoline under $2 a gallon, I think it's a bargain. So load up, enjoy it. I don't think it's here to stay.
The price of oil fell to $51.13 a barrel today. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 88 points, closing at 12,477. This is CBS News.
It was the new show that became a cultural phenomenon.
Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
And tonight on NBC, Heroes is back. Now they've learned they're not alone.
You know someone else like me?
And the search for more heroes all comes down to one question.
Are you on the list?
The next chapter of Heroes begins tonight after Deal or No Deal and followed by Studio 60. All new on NBC.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
As the result of the Supreme Court ruling today, thousands of California prison inmates might have their sentences reduced. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
In the latest ruling limiting a judge's ability to beef up prison terms, the Supreme Court is tossing out a California sentencing scheme that's been used for three decades. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
There is a strong majority on this court in favor of preventing judges from increasing someone's prison sentence unless the evidence behind it is found by a jury beyond a reasonable doubt.
The state is preparing for an onslaught of claims from prisoners affected by this ruling. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons says liposuction is now the most popular cosmetic surgery, but in the age of digital TV, it might not be enough to save the careers of some porn stars. The New York Times says producers of videos that show everything are concerned that high def shows a little too much, wrinkles, blemishes, and scars you don't see on regular TV. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Here we stand, and here we fall. History won't care at all.
6:05, 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Blue Monday every place else. Well, we're blue here as opposed to being a red state, but we're not unhappy, we're not depressed, well, we're not too depressed. We're contemplating the State of the Union address that Dickie's going to try to utter tomorrow, and we're going to bring it to you live. So let me just remind you, it's scheduled for 6 o'clock. Normally, Enid Live airs from 3 to 7 weekdays, and tomorrow's going to be 3 to infinity. Well, not that bad, but we will bring you the President's State of the Union address live. And the question I'm asking is, has he done anything of any substance between last year and this year that's positive, remotely positive? Even in the last 6 years, has he done anything remotely positive? You can tell me. And then we will follow the State of the Union address with a Democratic response, which should be good. It should. I don't think it's going to be boilerplate, because the two of them, James Webb, who's going to give the Democratic response and beat out Senator Makaka from Virginia, and the president had a very testy exchange. Remember, James Webb has written a bunch of military bestsellers, thrillers. He has been an assistant secretary of defense, I believe. He has a son in Iraq, and he has no love lost between him and the president. So I'll be very interested to hear what he has to say and hope that he doesn't pull his punches. And that is tomorrow night. And we will take your calls following. I want to hear your response. Are you planning even to listen? I know a lot of you have just decided to tune out Dickie, but I think it's going to be good theater tomorrow. Remember, he looked so medicated in the last speech, the surge speech, in which he did not get a bump up in numbers. Actually, he took even more of a hit. And I have more polls that I want to share with you. 349-1320 is the way you join Enid Live. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. If you've never called a talk radio show before, I hope you'll consider doing it, because the conversation is a lot better when you are part of it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. It's always a flea market of ideas around here. It's a train. You just jump on it wherever it is, wherever you pick it up, and we go from there. And if you were just joining us, we've been to a lot of places. We've been to Hillary, and we've been to special interest picking up the bonuses for the governor's top four aides to the tune of actually paying more for Susan Kennedy's compensation than what the state does. And we've been talking about Hillary and Obama and all the other candidates who've tossed their hats into the ring. We've been talking about the State of the Union. We've been talking about a New York Times reporter, a woman who got beaten up by Pakistani intelligence service operatives because she's getting too close to the real story. And the real story is that the Pakistani intelligence services are helping the Taliban. And they have threatened her. They took all of her information. They contacted all the people in her hard drive and cell phone and everybody who was the source for the story, and they beat her up. And they threatened her photographer with never working, don't ever work for the New York Times again, is what they did with him. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about health care, which is going to be a topic of the State of the Union address tomorrow. And Dickie thinks we've got too much of it. It's gold-plated. He really wants us to spend more to get less, and he thinks that the whole health care problem will be solved with tax incentives. You tell that to people who aren't making enough to pay for health care, who have to choose whether they have money for health insurance or whether they have money for the rent. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let me add to the conversation. First of all, I want to bring us up to speed on a couple of issues here. Let me see if I can find it. One of the things that we talked about last week was this Pentagon bloviator, an attorney himself, a deputy assistant secretary of defense, deputy assistant, junior assistant, deputy. Charles Stimson's suggestion that corporations boycott law firms, their law firms that are also doing pro bono work for Guantanamo detainees. Well, here's how these big corporations, and he was threatening, he doesn't want, the administration does not want these detainees represented, but not by anybody, and particularly not by top law firms. And so what he's saying is any corporation that knows its law firm is defending, is representing these Guantanamo detainees, they ought to, these big corporations ought to cut these law firms loose. Well, believe me, if you have an ongoing relationship with an attorney, with a law firm, you're not going to cut them loose just like that willy-nilly. But it puts a chill, because if you are an attorney at one of these big firms and you want to do some pro bono work on behalf of these Guantanamo detainees and you are frightened that it could cause the firm to lose some clients, you might think twice about it, which, you know, more fear tactics from this administration. Well, here's the latest. Instead of Fortune 500 companies like Microsoft, Daimler, Chrysler, Pfizer dumping their outside counsel in a fit of political protest, firms have largely gotten support. The law firms have largely gotten support from corporate America and from their within their partnership ranks. Pro bono service and the rule of law are great traditions in the American legal professions, and we at GE have no intention of and strongly disagree with the suggestion of in any way discriminating against law firms that represent us on the basis of the pro bono, charitable, or public service that the lawyers in those firms choose to engage in. And this is from a senior vice president and general counsel at GE, and this he said this in a statement. Jenner and Block and Covington, two firms involved in representing detainees, have done legal work for GE. GE is apparently not alone in this position. I intend to continue to use the firms that regularly represent us. The fact that they engage in pro bono work or work for other clients that I don't necessarily agree with does not affect my decision. And this is from the general counsel of Verizon Communication and former attorney general under Poppy, George Bush the First. Debevoise, Plimpton, and Wilmer Hale have both represented Verizon and are active in representing detainees. Stinson, the assistant junior deputy assistant, has apologized, sort of, and he remains on the job. He should be fired. 349-1320. And one of our guys, Jerry McNerney, that we helped, I think we helped to get him into place and to defeat Richard, the evil Richard Pombo. Guess what? He's being targeted by Republicans. He's being helped by Democrats, but he is already battling to keep his seat. This, according to today's Chronicle, Representative Jerry McNerney, first-term Democratic congressman from Pleasanton who unseated seven-term lawmaker Richard Pombo, Mambo Pombo, in November, is a marked man targeted by his own party and the Republicans with the next election almost 2 years away. He has party leaders have given him prime committee assignments, coveted floor time during legislative debates on ethics and renewable energy in the opening weeks of the 110th Congress, and plenty of strategic advice. But the Republicans have got him within their sights, and so he's trying to get some money together to bolster his position. 349-1320. Frank, in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, hi. I just had a couple of quick points on something you'd mentioned before about the healthcare thing. I've heard a lot of people on the radio and commentators, and I've read some magazines and articles and things saying that the government should sort of switch to sponsoring a more catastrophic type healthcare system, and that should be sort of what government sort of mandates that companies do, and sort of employees should pick up the slack on the rest of.
So what's your point about that? You're in favor of it, or you're not in favor of it?
No. I think that's a terrible idea, because it's not the catastrophic stuff that gets you. It's preventing the catastrophic stuff. I think by controlling your diabetes, your blood pressure.
There you go.
Conditions.
Absolutely.
If you have a heart attack, then, you know, that's catastrophic, but that's, if you can avoid having it, that sort of goes back to, you know, the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
And can I tell you something? One of the things that's linked with heart health issues is your gum and your dental situation. If you've got gums, gum issues, bleeding gums, you're not taking care of your gums, that for some reason opens the door to a lot of other very serious health issues, among them heart issues. So you got to take care of everything.
Yeah, I actually read some of those papers, and it's interesting stuff that they're finding, but I think the link is still not 100% sure as to exactly why. The other thing I wanted to say was you'd ask if there were any sort of good policies that the president has initiated, and I think everything's been sort of overshadowed by Iraq, but I think at least the development of the Transportation Safety Authority and sort of coming up with some standards for screenings at the airport, in theory, is a good thing, and hopefully that'll sort of, you know,
oh, I think it's a disaster. The TSA has spent a ton of money putting itself up at five-star resorts. I can't, you know, all this screening equipment, like the kind that you're not supposed to take off your shoes, it doesn't seem to be working. The TSA is a catastrophe. Frank, I can't believe you think this is any accomplishment.
No. But I think it's a step in the right direction that it's now a federalized thing, because before
it's been federalized for years. It's been federalized since right after 9/11. So what is that? What, you know, and where was it any great accomplishment to? And they don't screen, you know, they don't screen the cargo that's going in. I mean, it's a mess, Frank. If that's the only thing you can point to, it's kind of tragic with this administration. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. The TSA. Has anybody else got an example of any achievement that this administration has been able to foist on us? Frank thinks it's the TSA. Mike and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Enid. No, I can't think of any accomplishment of this administration at all, but I did have an idea. You know, with the corporate lawyers that are being threatened by junior executive Stinson, or their firm.
Deputy assistant, junior deputy assistant, yes.
Yeah. Instead of, like, just threatening those corporate law firms, why don't they just get the lawyers and extraordinarily render them over to Pakistan and have Musharraf rough them up a little bit, smack them around? Wouldn't that get them in?
Well, just like the intelligence services smacked that female, that woman New York Times reporter around?
They're actually just, you know, basically two peanuts in the same cell, you know, the same kind of guys. What we have in this country running the country is a couple of thugs, just like they do in Pakistan, and I think basically there's not a lot of difference. And people should be aware, you know, that probably goes on in our country too.
Well, I think your description of this administration as being thuggish is absolutely right. You got it exact. You nailed it.
Yeah. And as far as the State of the Union tomorrow, I don't plan to watch, because the only words that I want to, or the only thing I want to hear this president say is when he and his vice president will be resigning.
Well, we're resigned right now for them not to be, for them to hang in there as long as possible. So, Mike, does that mean you're not going to call us after the both speeches?
That means I could care less what he has to say. I've heard enough lies.
What about the Democratic response? Don't you want to see what the Dems have to say and how they do it, how they handle it?
That I will probably watch.
Well,
yeah,
then, well,
it's to see Jim Webb. You know, I'm hoping Jim Webb will make it personal.
I am waiting. Then I hope that we can hear from you and your what your thoughts were on hearing the response, if you haven't at least listened to the State of the Union address. So I'm hoping that you book in and call us tomorrow.
Well, thank you. I may not watch, but I appreciate your.
We're giving you that gold-plated invitation, just like your gold-plated health care that you're getting from this administration. both are equally negotiable in no known stores, Mike. All right.
Yeah, they're equally non-negotiable.
That's right. Thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Joey in Washington. State of Washington?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Joey. Welcome. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Are you listening to us online?
Yeah, thank you for answering my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling us.
First of all, I don't believe that life that ends at the age 67, you know. I'm retired, and I've been a Vietnam vet, and I applied for work this morning, and regarding the TSA, and the question that puzzled me is like this, that, you know, the drug test, that's normal, but they're going to check your credit, you know?
I have no idea, Joey, darling. I have no idea what you're talking about. Tell me what your point is.
My point is, how come the TSA, when the application forms...
Joey, tell me what you called about. Tell me the point you want to make.
The point is, how come the TSA is asking our credit check when we applied for a job?
Well, can I tell you that when you apply for auto insurance, they go look at your credit and they decide on the basis of your credit, not on the basis, I think this has been changed now in California, but on the basis of your credit history rather than the basis of your driving record, that's why they decide how much insurance you're going to pay for your auto insurance.
What I mean is the TSA, the airport security.
Yes, so they're trying to determine whether they use, for some reason, by checking your credit, and we'll put it out there, we'll see how people respond, Joey. When are they going to tell you whether you got the job or not?
No, I didn't apply. I just didn't apply because I got a bad credit.
You have bad credit.
I'm 67 years old already.
Well, you don't, you know, but you have, well, huh, so you decided not to apply because of the credit issue. All right, we'll ask and we'll see how people respond. Joey, I thank you very much for the call. And thank you for calling all the way from Washington. We appreciate it. 349-1320. Joey says they want to know about your credit. A lot of companies, actually, when they want to hire you, they look at your credit. It is one of the litmus tests, and I guess they just, if you got terrible credit, they think maybe you're not such a hot person, and then they don't want to have you on staff. They think maybe you're going to stick your hand in the till to make up for your bad credit. Maybe that's part of it. And you know, it has determined not, I think that has changed now in California, but up until recently, it determined your insurance rates here. Martin and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Martin.
Yeah, hi. I just had a quick comment about the threat to the companies about the pro bono thing.
Yeah.
I think that it's an empty threat because if you look at it, there's only about 10 or 12 really great law firms in this country that do the work for those multinational corporations. So if everyone continues to do pro bono work, the companies aren't going to have anyone else to hire.
So, well,
you're not going to risk your billion-dollar merger and acquisition to some sort of local counsel. You're going to stick with the best lawyers in the country and work at those best firms.
That's
so
true.
It's silly.
Yeah, it is silly. But for him, why did he even say it? It's such a crude attempt at manipulation, don't you think?
Well, I think it just sort of shows that he really wasn't sure what he was talking about, because in the end, you know, the businesses stay with the firms that save them money or you know get some judgments in federal court that they need in order to continue doing their business. So they wouldn't jeopardize their success over pro bono work for people who are detainees or whatever.
Are you an attorney, Martin?
Oh, my wife is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thank you very much. I thank you very much for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320. That's an excellent point. And I want to share with you some of the. Before we continue, I have to share with you the poll numbers because they're getting more and more interesting. But I just have to listen to this. You talk about raining pestilence on this administration. You talk about the laws of unintended consequences from this war, this ridiculous war. Could anybody have anticipated this one? Let me share it with you. A drug-resistant bacteria that is infecting wounded U.S. soldiers in Iraq and has spread to civilian hospitals in parts of Europe, and undoubtedly will come home with some of these people, accidentally evolved in U.S. military hospitals in Iraq. Several thousand, this is an expose, which is apparently going to bring uncomfortable new light to this particular bacteria that Pentagon officials previously said was a likely product of Iraqi soil. By creating the most heroic and efficient means of saving lives in the history of warfare, the Pentagon has accidentally invented a machine for accelerating bacterial evolution and was airlifting the pathogens halfway around the world. So, amazing story of a drug-resistant bacteria found a likely product of Iraqi soil, that because the medical treatment in Iraq was so good, it turned into an accelerated machine for accelerating the bacterial evolution of this now drug-resistant bacteria. It's infecting the wounded in Iraq and has spread to civilian hospitals in parts of Europe. Undoubtedly, there are other drug-resistant issues facing us in hospitals in this country. And so here, this is going to add to that stew. And the other thing, those of you who are laughing at moi, your goddess, about not wanting to use cell phones because the low level of radiation, my friend Vicky sent this to me. So let me share this with you. Many organizations, including the cell phone industry, often downplay the risk of cell phone radiation to the brain. Results from short-term studies were used to convince consumers that use of cell phone is not associated with brain tumors or cancer, which only develop decades after exposure. To be fair, no one knows exactly how much harm a cell phone can do to a person. But recently, there is a study showing the radiation from cell phones is so full of energy that the radiation can be used to cook eggs. Eggs. They turned an egg into a hard-boiled egg, and here's how they did it. In the experiment, researchers placed one egg in a porcelain cup, because it's easy to conduct heat, and put one cell phone on one side and another cell phone on the other side. The researchers then called from one cell phone to the other and kept the cell phones on after connecting. During the first 15 minutes, nothing changed. After 25 minutes, however, the eggshell started to become hot, and at 40 minutes, the surface of the egg became hard and bristled. Researchers found the protein in the egg had become solid, although the egg yolk was still in liquid form. After 65 minutes, 65 minutes between two cell phones that were talking to each other. The whole egg was well cooked. The study shows how scary cell phone radiation is. People should try to avoid use of cell phones, although so far no one has proved the radiation from cell phones can cause something clinically significant. By the same token, there has been no one who can disprove the existence of such a risk. Children should be forbidden from cell phone use because they still grow their brains and are particularly vulnerable to radiation. So what do you think about that? You know, think about this. When you're using your cell phone for everything, it's one thing to use it when it's an important phone call, when it's really necessary, when it's a safety issue. But just to willy-nilly be on it for 1,000 hours a day, I really think there's a health risk. Well, at least nobody has proved that there isn't. And if a cell phone can cook a hard-boiled egg, two cell phones, one on each side, can cook a hard-boiled egg, I mean, this is your, you know that commercial, this is your brain, and then this is your brain on drugs? This is your brain on cell phones. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's just so not a typical Monday. I mean, really, southbound 99 is looking pretty good. Everybody's back up to 55. I-5, 50 going over top of the mountain. Typically slow, I guess, but not as much as normal. It's really pretty good. White Rock Road, just east of Placerville Road in South Sac. We do have a two-car crash. Other than that, it's looking clear. 33 for the low. Highs coming up tomorrow, 61. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
Keeping the metal to the best. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Don't touch. 6:31 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Okay, this just in. I'm not happy about it. I'll share it with you. There's a group called the Blue Dog Democrats. They are, you know, it's like the yellow dog. They'll, even if you're a yellow dog, if you're a Democrat, they'll vote for you. So I don't know how the blue dog differs exactly. But fiscally conservative, Blue Dog Democrats are refusing to call an end to the war. Instead, they're planning legislation focusing on accountability for funds that Bush wants to spend in Iraq. A group of 44, quote, fiscally conservative Democrats will not call for an end to America's military involvement in Iraq. Instead, the Blue Dog Coalition of House Democrats will introduce legislation this week focusing on accountability for money the White House wants to spend on the nearly four-year-long Iraq war. Blue Dog Democrats, and I've got a list of who they include, I think. It's the Blue Dog Coalition. What are your thoughts about this? They don't even want to go. They're not opposing. They're refusing to call an end to the war. In a press conference last Friday, Representative Jane Harman, The California Democrat, who was formerly the ranking minority member of the House Intelligence Committee, announced a bill she would sponsor this week on behalf of the Blue Dog Democrats, providing for Operation Iraqi Freedom Cost Accountability. The provisions of the bill focus on congressional oversight of the funds used to pay for operations in Iraq. Blue Dogs will not speak out as a group on whether or not to call for an end to the Iraq war. They will not draft a resolution or course regarding the troops other than one of support for our soldiers in harm's way. Wow. President Bush invited Blue Dog representatives to the White House just before he formally addressed the nation about his surge plan, and portions of the Blue Dog's bill echo the policy put forth in President George Bush's January 10 national address. The last section of the bill says that in furtherance of the partnership that is critical to success in Operation Iraqi Freedom, the administration should firmly condition further American financial, military, and political resources upon steady improvement in Iraqi assumption of principal responsibility for internally policing Iraq. Fancy words for we don't have a plan either. But they're not going to oppose the war or the escalation of the war. And I'm going to give you some of the names of the members of the Blue Dog Democrats. They're all, a lot of them are from California. Ellen Tauscher. Let's see if I can. Adam Schiff is from California. Loretta Sanchez is California. John Salazar, Colorado. Let's see if we know some of the other ones. I'm trying to find more California. Jane Harman. Maybe Nancy Pelosi was right not to make her chair of the Intelligence Committee. Jim Costa, California. Dennis Cardoza, California. Dan Boren, Oklahoma. Melissa Bean, Illinois. Joe Baca, California, and so on. So these are some of the 44 people who are not going to oppose the war. What are your thoughts about that? They call themselves fiscally conservative. And remember now, ABC News is going to be reporting that there could be some Al-Qaeda infiltration of students using student visas. And we're all saying, oh, isn't that interesting, the night before the State of the Union address. So this administration is same old, up to its usual tricks about lying. Speaking of which, let me share with you Frank Rich. I always go for... I want to read Frank Rich and Paul Krugman. Those are the first things I look for in the days that they are in the New York Times, because it's interesting. And here's Frank Rich writing yesterday in the Times. The White House gang is so practiced in lying with a straight face that it never thinks twice about recycling its greatest hits. Hours after Mr. Cheney's Fox interview, President Bush was on 60 Minutes claiming that before the war, everybody was wrong on weapons of mass destruction, and that the minute we found out the WMD didn't exist, he was, quote, the first to say so. Everybody, of course, was not wrong on WMD, starting with the United Nations Weapons Inspection Team in Iraq, nor was Mr. Bush the first to come clean once the truth became apparent after the invasion. On May 29, 2003, 2 days after a secret defense intelligence agency-sponsored mission found no biological weapons in trailers captured by American forces, Mr. Bush declared, quote, we found the weapons of mass destruction. We found biological laboratories. But that's all WMD under the bridge. The most important lies to watch out for now are the new ones being reiterated daily by the administration's top brass, from Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney on down. You know, fiasco awaits America when everyone in the White House is reading in unison from the same fictional script as they did back in the day when mushroom clouds and uranium from Africa were the daily drumbeat. The latest lies are custom-made to prop up the new, quote, way forward that is anything but. Among the emerging examples is a rewriting of the history of Iraq's sectarian violence. The fictional version was initially laid out by Mr. Bush in his January 10 primetime speech and has since been repeated on TV by both Mr. Cheney and the National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. Last Sunday, and by Mr. Bush on PBS NewsHour, and it goes something like this. Sectarian violence didn't start spiraling out of control until the summer of 2006, after Sunni terrorists bombed the Golden Mosque in Samarra and forced the Shiites to take revenge. But as Mark Siebel of McClatchy Newspapers noted last week, the president's account understates by at least 15 months when Shiite death squads began targeting Sunni politicians and clerics. They were visible in embryo long before that. The Times, among others, reported as far back as September 2003 that Shiite militias were becoming more radical, dangerous, and anti-American. What Bush wants to do is to duck culpability for failing to recognize the sectarian violence from the outside, from the outset, much as he failed to recognize the Sunni insurgents before it, and to underplay the intractability of the civil war, which we will now sacrifice fresh American flesh. So we have spent, how is $1 billion in new American Reconstruction spending going to accomplish what the $30 billion thrown down the drain in previous Reconstruction spending did not? All of this replays 2003, when the White House refused to consider any plan, including existing ones in the Pentagon and State Department bureaucracies, for coping with a broken post-Saddam Iraq. Then, as at every stage in the war since, the only administration plan was for a propaganda campaign to bamboozle American voters into believing victory was just around the corner. The next push in the Way Forward propaganda campaign arrives tomorrow night with the State of the Union address. The good news is that the Democrats have chosen Jim Webb, the new Virginia senator, to give their official response. Mr. Webb, a Reagan administration Navy secretary and father of a son serving in Iraq, has already provoked a testy exchange about the war with the president at a White House reception. He's the kind of guy likely to keep a scorecard of the lies on Tuesday night. But whether he does or doesn't, it's incumbent on all those talking heads who fell for shock and awe and mission accomplished in 2003 to not let history repeat itself in 2007. Facing the truth is the only way forward in Iraq. Hear, hear. So he's talking about this administration that lies with a straight face. It's so used to lying. It's got its greatest hits of lies. And it thinks that we can't see through these lies. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Thank you very much, Ina. Tonight, low 33, highs coming up. We're going to see near 61 tomorrow. Hallelujah. South Sac, we have White Rock Road, a Placer Road. There's a two-car crash over there. And westbound I-80 at Antelope Road, we have a two-car crash there. Ina Live will continue AM 1320 KCTC.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We're here with
Win Fast, Win Often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at CashCreek.com.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, Blue Monday someplace else, but not around here. While we're depressed over the president, guess what? They finally picked a jury for Libby. And, you know, American Idol is coming under a lot of heat because apparently there was a Special Olympics contestant. I didn't see it. I'm still an American Idol virgin. But, you know, it's like, how low can you go? I think we have a Special Olympics contestant in the presidency, actually. So here, apparently, there were mean and mocked somebody who was a Special Olympics contestant. You may have thoughts about that. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I want to share with you, here is the Libby jury has been picked, and here's who it includes. A jury that includes four critics. Now, this is Scooter Libby. This was Dick Cheney's chief of staff, who is accused of having outed and lied about outing Valerie Plame's identity. It was probably Cheney who did it, and he's probably taking the hit for Cheney. That's what everybody believes. So it isn't the crime, it's the cover-up that has gotten him into the soup. A jury that includes four critics of the Bush administration's Iraq policies was seated today to try former White House aide Scooter Libby on charges of lying about what he told reporters concerning the wife of a prominent war opponent. The jury of nine women and three men. See, there are never enough men. It's always It's always, there are always more women than men. Nine women and three men was seated after a nearly hour-long court session that was as silent as a professional chess match. Prosecutors and defense attorneys consulted in whispers and then handed papers to the clerk to exercise their 20 unexplained strikes of potential jurors. So six potential jurors who had criticized war policy or the Bush administration were struck, as was one woman who said that she had voted for Bush. Although it was not announced which side struck which jurors, Libby's attorneys tried to exclude strong opponents of Bush's policies. The critics who were seated said that they could put those views aside. So there are a lot of critics of the administration who were chosen for the jury. Drawn from a city where registered Democrats outnumber Republicans more than 9-1, the jury pool had included quite a few who said they could not put their opposition aside, well, because it's going to be a month-long trial. They had been sent home earlier by the judge. So there is a former Washington Post reporter who is on the jury, and a number of other people who have been critical of the administration. So I guess we're going to have to see what happens here. And let me give you this information. This is a CBS News poll that has just come out. The question is, the president's plan for Iraq. Should U.S. send 20,000 more troops to Iraq? Well, on the 10th, so like a week and a half ago, when the president gave the escalation speech, I think that was the day, 31% favored it, and now it's gone down to 29%, and 63% were against it then, and now it's gone up to 66% opposing. So, really, there's no support for sending more troops to Iraq. The Blue Dog Democrats are not going to oppose it. And I want to remind you, we're going to be bringing you the President's State of the Union address live. I know some of you are saying, I'm not going to listen, I already, my mind's made up, but I think you should. I think you should watch it. I think, if nothing else, it's going to be great theater. And then we talk about it later, and I'll be bringing you, maybe, we'll see if events warranted, I may be bringing you some commentary about the State of the Union address as he's spewing out these lies. 349-1320. Are you planning to listen? Are you going to listen to the Democratic response, which ought to be kind of probably have some starchiness ginger given by Jim Webb? And then we're going to do an extended version of Enid Live where you can comment. And I'm also asking about American Idol. They're responding to cruelty allegations. Special Olympics, they feel that American Idol's producers and judges were unfair to a Special Olympics participant. I don't know. You know, there's some people who think that American Idol should be commended for providing a Special Olympics contestant with the same opportunity to succeed as any other contestant, but they were not providing him with an opportunity to succeed. They were just providing him, they're pretending, you know, they're like the Bush administration, they're pretending they're providing him with an opportunity to succeed. They're just trying to make fun of somebody who isn't in a position to know that he or she is being made fun of. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. How low can you go? How low can you go? You tell me if you think that this is wonderful television. Well, you know, what do I say to this? I mean, it's what apparently it's whatever it takes to get ratings. Apparently, whatever, you know, Special Olympics, you put a Special Olympics kid on and everybody's snickering and the kid doesn't know that he exactly why people are responding as they are, and he's happy to have the chance to participate. And gosh, is this what we have become? You can tell me. This is a show that broke all these ratings records. It's in the sixth season, and it got tremendous ratings. What will the ratings be for Dickie's speech tomorrow? Minuscule, probably. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But for American Idol, when they ridicule somebody like a Special Olympics contestant, and where were the parents? Did the parents think this was a good idea to put their kid up for this? Did Special Olympics people think this was a great idea in case they had any involvement here? I mean, you tell me. If you were the parent of this kid, would you have allowed him to be put in that position where, in a way, he's snickered at and ridiculed? I mean, would you do this? You know, under the guise of, oh gosh, this is a network, a shot at network publicity and nationwide publicity. And he's 21. He was 21 years old. The Special Olympics person, and he doesn't. You know, he's describing his experience as absolutely wonderful. He did this with the hope of eventually becoming a DJ or a talk show host. Well, he'd probably do a better job than your goddess here. I don't know. You can comment. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And the polling, not too good for the administration. Oh, and here, I have to throw this in. Remember Ted Haggard? Remember Pastor Ted in Colorado? You know, the guy that invaded against gay sex and was against Nancy Pelosi's daughter, by the way, did a documentary about him. He says, Pastor Ted says, that evangelicals have the best sex life. He said this. Much as, you know, this is Alexandra Pelosi's new film, Friends of God. It's an HBO documentary, and this is Nancy Pelosi's daughter. And it shows the Reverend Ted Haggard, now former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, I think it's like 30 million members, talking frankly about how evangelical Christians have sex more than any other religious group. Well, I think he neglected to mention that he was having gay sex as he was inveighing against gay sex and gay marriage and being in general hypocritical or struggling with his issues. He had issues. I like that word, issues. It's got a lot of, and he was doing cocaine. Well, they ordered the cocaine. No, it was meth. I think it was meth. It wasn't cocaine. It was meth. But he didn't inhale. He didn't use it. They just ordered it. You know, just in case. You never know. You have to have a meth attack. You got to get munchies. You can, you know, Ben and Jerry's, that's always available. But a meth, you got to have it just in case. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320, KCTC.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up near 61. Our traffic, thank goodness. Well, you know what? I don't know if anybody is on the M word or not, but you know what? It actually is going pretty smooth today. Very surprising. 55, 60 on 99 and on 5 and on Cap City Freeway. Amazing. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 KCTC.
They're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Warm.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23, Kevin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Six 6:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I want to perfect that Little Richard. Ow! He can do it. I can do it. Well, that isn't Little Richard, but he used to do that, too. He does it on the, doesn't he do it on the Geico commercial? He's so hilarious. 349-1320, Ann and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Enid. I wanted to chime in on this American Idol.
What did you think of that? I didn't see it because I'm an American Idol virgin, apparently the only one in the U.S. But they use a Special Olympics person. How mean is that?
Now, I'm not sure if that was the one who was criticized so cruelly for his eyes. Is that the same one?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I'm sort of flying blind on this one.
Because I don't